Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we are here live again tonight, and good to be with you. All right, it's another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it, and we're going to minister to you personally sometime tonight, not tonight, maybe tomorrow night, or maybe Thursday, but we're here for you four nights a week, so please take advantage of that, and we love doing it, and it's an honor and a privilege from the Lord to be able to nurture God's people and feed God's people and bless God's people. It's just nothing like it. And the blessings that come from it are really, really cool. Jesus really loves it. I'll just tell you that. He really likes it. So maybe you'll like it too. Anyway, all right, good to be with you tonight. We are looking forward to, a lot of new things. Got a new website coming up. That's being fixed up right now. We purchased it. Now we are adding all of our information on it. So pray for us as we do all that. Something new and simple and easy, but very informative, easy to connect to. Also, we are working on our getting our trade company going to do our trading for the market for God's people. We're working on all that stuff. So we're also adding five people to our board, which is a kind of a major operation. We got most of it done. We're like a little bit working on some things. So just pray for us. So a lot going on. We're wanting our new studio, wanting to get in there. It's going to be really a lot going on, but it's a lot of fun. And the main thing we want to do is be here for you, minister to you personally, and make sure that you get what you need and how you need it so that we can, do what we're called to do first. This is our first thing, our first job, our first calling, our first love, as far as in what he's called us to do. So, all right. Okay. What we're going to talk about tonight, I have so many things I want to share. It's just so much to talk about, so much to share about. And, I talked to you last night a little bit about how that, God wants to talk to people. I mean, you saw last night the scripture that I gave. If you were listening last night at this time of the show, you saw that God was talking to Moses in the Old Testament, and that was when he got the tabernacle built, and the purpose for the tabernacle being built was so that God could come down and talk to people. God was a friend of Moses, and you could see it in the way that he talked to him. He talked to him about everything. It's kind of like finding somebody you can talk to about anything. Literally. I mean, that's literally what I saw it as. And when you start seeing that that's what God wants, you start realizing how important it is to know that God really does care and knows everything that goes on. Like the example we used last night was to show you how God watches every little thing, how he takes care of the poor and the needy, and takes care of everybody. But you see with the poor and the needy, that scripture that I used on that, how that he was concerned that when a poor man needed to borrow some money, that the collateral you took, like taking his coat or his shirt or something, that literally God said, now make sure you get that back to him because he hadn't got anything else to sleep in. I mean, it's like a mother, concerned about their child. Like, make sure you get that, take your coat. You're going to need it. It's going to get cold out there because they think about everything in life. And you see that with God. And I'm starting to see, even in the Old Testament, how that God was, a friend. How he was somebody who actually really cared. I mean, we know he did, but at the same time, the image that we've had of God in so many different ways, have been so wrong, I think. And the image we've had of him, even today, people try to scare us into relationship with Jesus. And I think that what God wants to do is he wants to change all that. And I think he wants to use GN from the prophet's perspective. Even my image of prophets was totally wrong, totally wrong. And my image of how God spoke to prophets and how he used them was totally wrong. I mean, I didn't want to be a prophet because, you know, I just didn't like the prophets. I didn't like the ministry they had. I just said, God bless them. I don't want to be that, you know. And then in my whole time, that was my calling. But the thing is that I just misunderstood it. And that's what Jesus came to do was to break down all the things that we believe about God and think the way he is. And even go back, like I said, into the Old Testament, and you see there where even where Moses was talking to God. Once they built the tabernacle the way God wanted it, the reason God wanted that is so that he could come down and talk to people. You know what I'm saying? That was the whole thing. When you go back and look at Exodus chapter 25, and you start reading all that with understanding that God was just like, okay, Moses, let's hurry up and get this tabernacle together, man, because I want to come down and I want to tell you guys how we're going to do our nation. It's just like, you know, a person who just couldn't wait to get a house built in the midst of all of his people so that he could come in there and just tell them, you know, all these good things and how to protect them and how to watch over them and the things that they needed to stay away from that would get them in trouble, that would mess them up. And, you know, like when he said, you know, don't do certain things like, you know, thou shalt not, you know, curse your mother and father. Like, you know, he was trying to tell them, hey, if you're cursing your mother and father, it's not going to go well with you. So I'm here to tell you, you know, I made human beings to honor their mother and father. And if you're not doing that, it's really going to mess with you. And when you start seeing that as God compassionately and lovingly, you know, trying to say like a mother or a father would raise her loving, precious children and try to teach them, you know, the ways of God and the ways of life. Like, you know, honey, when you go to school today, make sure that you honor, you know, the teacher and do good. And when you go to the bathroom, make sure you, you know, clean up your mess if you make one. And, you know, try to be, you know, and they try to teach them all these decent things. Why does a mother and father teach them that? So they can lay a bunch of rules and regulations on them? No. No, we have to see it. Our parents give us that information, you know, how to honor the teacher, how to sit up in class and pay attention and do all those things. Why are they telling us that? To lay the law down on us, you know, so to speak? Well, that's the image we've had of God. But that's not really what he's doing. He's saying, if you want life to go well with you, and be happy, and I'm going to tell you what to do and what not to do. It's not like he's saying, you can't have fun. He's teaching us how to have fun, fun the right way, fun God's way, how to live a life where, you know, you honor your elders. Your elders are going to respect you, and they're going to look after you, and they're going to like you. And when they like you, they're going to be, you know, they'll be better teachers. They'll be better people. And when people are good to people and honoring people, then life just goes well. It's not just with mom and dad, you know. So God is teaching us all these things, and we have looked at it, I think, many times as some strict rule that God is making just for his beloved people so he can lay the law down on them and give them something to, you know, you better not do that, you know. And that has nothing to do. I can't even imagine God now that I'm seeing saying, you better not do that, boy. I'll be coming down. Yeah, I'll be whooping you up. You know, I mean, it's does God get angry sometimes? Yeah. But, man, it takes a lot to get him angry. He is so patient and so kind. It takes a lot to get God angry. A lot. He will pour his wrath out. You read it in Scripture. He will pour his wrath out on Israel and on his people if they keep on doing the wrong thing. I mean, it shows you all through Scripture that God literally says he poured his wrath out on some of his people because they kept, you know, doing the wrong thing. So does God do that? Yeah, and there's even a reason why he does that. And there's a reason why he killed people who were adulterers, and certain things that people did had, you know, sexual issues and problems, why he killed them. He didn't kill them because he was mean and tried to get rid of all the perverts. You know, that's not why he did it. Jesus shows us that when he came into the earth to show us what the Father was like. He said, the Father really doesn't want to kill people anymore. I didn't come to judge you. I know you're an adulterer. I know you're a liar and a thief, and you got issues. But I came to save you from that. I came to deliver you from the oppression of all those things to try to get you to do everything wrong so you'll be miserable. And you've got a devil, and the devil is ruling the earth, and he's trying to get everybody to do the wrong thing to each other so that everybody will be miserable. The devil is trying to make everybody miserable. So God is doing just the opposite. He's trying to say, now, don't steal. Don't commit adultery, because when you do and that husband finds out, or that wife finds out, you've been messing around with their mate, I mean, it's going to be, like, bad for you. They may come and kill you. They may come at the night when you're not expecting it and, you know, chop you up in little pieces and, you know, and that'll be it for you. And, you know, so, I mean, you see what I'm saying? So God's, like, saying, that's not good. You got to love your neighbor as you love yourself, meaning that that's going to cause things to go well with you. People are going to get along. It creates a great atmosphere. It creates a great environment. You know, kindness brings kindness out of people. And so, you know, and so you start seeing all the laws in the time, like the scripture I talked about last night. I'm going to read it again because it so impressed me. It's so made me feel like God is really awesome. And we all know he's awesome, but this thing just really, really hit me, in case you weren't able to listen last night. Exodus chapter 22. Yeah, I said 25 earlier. I meant 22. Sorry about that. Okay, it says in Exodus 22, and this is talking about one little thing that just really impressed me, and when you look at all the other scriptures, you'll see them. And how the tone that God has toward his people, and how he was, when he's doing this, when he's saying this, he's literally, and people are hearing God talk to Moses, and Moses talk to God. They're hearing the conversation go on. That's one of the reasons God put the tabernacle in the midst of the people, so that they could hear him talking to Moses, you know, and they were friends. So what was God doing? He was showing them, I'm your friend. Yes, I'm God. People try to get us away from the friendship thing. Like, if you're friends with God, you're gonna lose respect for God because he'll you know, you sin and he's gonna, you know, you'll go to hell for that. And so they try to give us this image of God that's all totally, totally messed up and just really, it's disgusting actually. And so, you know, when you start seeing how God really is and you start watching him, I mean, he set the tabernacle in the midst of Israel, had them build it for him. He said, build it just like I need it, because the way I need it is the reason. I can't come and dwell in a house that's not like I want. You know, I need it to be exactly like I want it. And so they built it exactly like God wanted it. You know, he was the boss, right? And you always make the boss happy because he'll come down and he'll, you know. And so he came down once they built it. And they set it up, and the cloud would come down, and everybody would see the cloud come down. Everybody's seeing the cloud come down. Everybody. The whole nation of Israel, oh, there goes the cloud. Let's listen to see what God's going to tell Moses today. Because they would just talk, just like, you know, just talking. God's talking. And he's saying, you know, okay, he's talking about all kinds of things. He's talking about the things I talked about earlier, about adultery and how we had to handle those kind of things. You know, that kind of, it wasn't because God didn't want us to have fun. It's just that he knew that adultery would go do nothing but stir up strife and contention, to stir up hate, you know. And that was the devil's tool of bringing division. So you hear him talk about all that stuff too. But I'm going to repeat this again when I read to you last night in Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. He said, if you lend money to a poor person of my people, you shall not be to him as a creditor. Now, other people, they could be creditor, but to the poor people, he says, neither shall you charge him interest. Now, you see, this is God literally speaking. I don't know what his language he's speaking in, probably Hebrew, but he's speaking to Moses, and Moses is listening to him, and everybody's kind of like going, did you hear that? I mean, you know, when we lend money, we can't, to the poor, God doesn't want us to, you know, be like a creditor to them and charge them interest. Oh, wow. And they're here, and Moses and his crew are writing all this stuff down, and God's just yakking away, telling him what he thinks. He says, if you take your neighbor's garment as collateral, you shall restore it to him before the sun goes down. But listen to how God was concerned about this, the sun going down, like he knew something about the earth, like he knew what it was like at night in the wilderness, got cold. And he says, you know, make sure and get it back to him when the sun goes down. And you can hear just God saying this, and Moses writing it down, and all the scribes, whoever were writing all this stuff down, and all the people were listening because they listened intently because they could hear the conversation going on. It was amazing, friend. And he says, yeah, make sure you give back to him before the sun goes down. And that is, that's his only covering. This is his garment for his skin. What would he sleep in? Well, watch this. What's he going to sleep in? And it will happen when he cries to me that I will hear, for I am gracious. My God. I know I read that last night, but, you know, so I want to get on this thing about the friendship side of God. And I think God wants me to disarm all this fear that God is our friend and our buddy, in a sense. I don't really like the word buddy, but I do like the word friend. And I want to focus on the word friend. And you can see how God wanted them to build a tabernacle so that he could come down and say, hey, man, I've been missing not getting to talk to people. And now I actually get to talk to you, and you're talking back to me, and we're face-to-face, and you know that I'm talking to you because you can hear me talking. And Moses is talking back, and they're going back and forth with the conversation, and all of Israel is watching and listening to this, man. I mean, I hope they get that recorded. When I get to heaven or whatever, when heaven comes down to earth, I want to see that video. I want to watch that, man, because that's so awesome. And last night I got into a word with some friends from Texas, and I was ministering to them. And, you know, I started to, you know, I gave them this word about friends and friendship and how that I don't have any proof of this biblically because the scripture doesn't say it exactly. But when it comes to washing feet, how Jesus himself, God in the flesh, washing people's feet. What was he trying to do? I think, well, number one, he was trying to get God up off the high horse thing, if so to speak, that people had him on, where he just kind of sits around and bosses people around and doesn't really have much of a relationship with them. He's kind of, okay, don't do this and don't do that. And, yeah, you can do that, but you better be careful when you do it, because if you don't, if you mess it up, you're going to be in trouble. And that's the kind of the image that we've had of God. And God has never been like that. A lot of the things that he has that are, quote, some people call are negative, are just simply like a mother warning their child, honey, you know, don't steal, don't take your friend's pencils because he's going to need them. And when he finds that you got them, he's going to start a fight. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I'll get you pencils. You need a pencil? Make sure. And when you go to this class, I'll get you a pencil. Don't be taking it. So it's like, oh, that's so negative. That's God saying, thou shalt not take your buddy's pencil because he'll kill you. And so it's so people don't understand the motherly and the fatherly instincts of God. And here Jesus comes down into the earth, and he's like a servant, working as a servant in the house. The lowest level person in the household is the servant, because when they come in, whatever they need, whatever they need, the servant gets it for them. You see what I'm saying? That's what the role that Jesus was playing when you see him washing the feet. He was trying to say, you don't understand this. They could not even comprehend this. Our image of God is like he's just so, whoa, man, and thou shalt not and all that. And Jesus was trying to break that image down into more of what it's really like with God and what he's really like and what the Bible talks about Moses and you know, Abraham being friends, and other people were friends with God. But you hear these preachers say, don't get too friendly with God because, you know, it's like they're afraid, like this religious spirit, and I know kind of what they mean, but this religious spirit is going, don't you dare get too close to God in friendship because you might try to get by with something that you can't do and you think God's going to let you get by with it. Like that's what they're saying that's going to happen. But you know what? It's almost like they're jealous in a sense, because it's like, you know, Abraham was a friend with God. Abraham, you know, kind of Jewed God down, you know, on some things. On, you know, whenever we go to Sodom and Gomorrah, he was wheeling and dealing with God. And God was just kind of like,
you know, doing the game with him, you know, like, yeah, hey, you want me to go down to 30? Okay, 30. You want me to go down to 10? Okay, 10. But 10's it. You know, if there's 10 there, that's it. And so you see this thing going on with God. And I think even today in our new covenant relationship with Jesus and the Father, we still have this fear because we have preachers who do this to us, who make us feel like if we are somehow buddies with God, that somehow that's going to mess up our relationship with God, and we're going to try to get by with things that we shouldn't be doing, as I said earlier. You see what I'm saying? This is just total nonsense. It's like saying every time you sin, you're going to go to hell. You better get saved right now again. And every time you do a little sin, you better get born again again. It's like a fear thing that the religious-spirited preachers, and I think I've probably done my share of it, that we put it on people to make God look like something that he's not. And therefore, people go around terrorized that if they make a mistake or fail or sin, it's like, okay, if God lets you get by with one sin, sure enough, you'll be sinning another sin and then another sin and another sin. You better repent or you're going to hell, boy. Girl, oh, yeah, you're going down. God's going to get you. You can't buddy up with God because if you do, you might try to take advantage of him. You know, and so we have this whole mentality, and I think I've been part of that myself a little bit at different times. And Jesus is coming along, and he's saying, hey, you know, I want to bring God down to what he really cares about. And just like we just read in Exodus 22, he's concerned about, hey, if a poor man borrows money from you and you take his coat as collateral, can you please get it back to him before the night? Because what's he going to sleep in? I mean, just think about that, man. I mean, that is amazing. That is beautiful. That's God being like the servant that Jesus was when he was washing the disciples' feet and washing anybody. It wasn't just the disciples, the big boys' feet. He would wash anybody's feet, man. I mean, he was trying to show them something. He said, hey, God is not what you think. He really cares about the poor. And if you take their coat for collateral to make sure you get your money back, please give it back to him before nightfall, because what's he going to sleep in? He'll get cold. It'll be sad. You know, and just kind of like going, oh, God, I don't know if I could lower God that low in my mind, because that's going to look like he's a servant and he's going to give me whatever I need. I mean, is that God? Yes, it's God. A servant, when he serves you, gives you whatever you need. He said, oh, I need a glass of water. The servant says, yes, sir, I'll go get it. He runs and gets it. Well, this is the image Jesus is trying to give us of him, of God, of what it's really like to be great. And yet, just like the days of old, man, we've been just like them. We're like going, you know, you ain't going to wash my feet. You know, I mean, I ain't gonna let the big man wash my feet. I'm not going to let the big man serve me. No, that wouldn't be right. That we can't do that. No, uh-uh. No, I got too much pride. I got too much. No way. No, that's not going to happen. And so the image that Jesus was bringing to the people was totally colliding with all the religious people who were trying to teach them about God being this certain way. And yeah, you know, you better not keep that, you know, that poor person's garment, because God will smite you because he's watching everything you're doing. And instead of presenting him as the way he really was and really is, they presented him as this person who's some kind of bitter old man who can't hardly, you know, handle it if you don't do exactly what he says, like a dictator. Well, he's going to rule everything, and he's not going to ask your opinion about much, that's for sure. But he doesn't rule like that. He doesn't do that. God is the person who does provide. What does God do? He's the, what's he trying to give us an image of? The provider of all your needs. I'm going to meet your needs. What do you need, Randy? What do you need, PGN? What do you need, friends? What do you need? I'm your servant. I'm a servant. I sent Jesus to show you this is really what I'm like. I want to help you. I love waiting on you. I love, just like a mother loves waiting on her children. She loves changing that diaper, man. I mean, maybe not always, you know, depends on if the kid's been eating pickles or not. I mean, you know what that's like. That's horrible. But, you know, it's like that mother just love, oh, that and breastfeeding that baby and cleaning up behind it. I know women, they God made them where they love to clean up behind their babies. You know, I mean, yeah, just sometimes you get old, yeah, but there's something satisfying about a mother waiting on, it's just think about this, a mother who's in control of that child, so to speak, who gave birth to it, what's it doing all of its life? Well, at least till it gets older, is meeting all of its needs. What does a servant do when you come into the house? When you sit down and you're tired and you say, man, I could sure use a glass of water, and you look at the servant like, would you mind doing that? And the servant goes, go get it yourself, man. Who do you think I am, your servant? Well, I thought you were the servant. And Jesus was trying to say, I'm here to meet all your needs. What do you need? When you sit down in that chair and you're tired, hey, I'm the eternal God. I don't get tired. What do you need, baby? What do you need, honey? Will you let me change your diaper? Oh, I'd love to change your diaper. I would love to help you. You need some money? I want to get you money. I want to get you what you need. As long as you need to understand how to deal with money, because if I go get you money and serve you and bring you money, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be good with it? Are you going to help the poor and the needy? Are you going to do right? Are you going to keep it for yourself and store it up for yourself and all that? What are you going to do? So in everything we start seeing, even under the law, when you start seeing what God is really trying to say and the reason he's saying it, friend, it gives an image of God that totally changes everything we think about him, even to this day. Even to this day, I think our image of God, I know my image of God is totally imperfect, you know? And I think God's trying to change it. He's trying to say, hey, I'm like a servant. I'll take a towel and, you know, and I'll wash your feet with my own towel. With my own towel. I'll just robe myself and humble myself and you know, I'll be the lowest person in there, and yet when I'm doing that, I'm the greatest. Why? Because I'm the one meeting the needs, just like the mother. The mother and the father are the greatest ones. Why? Because they're meeting the needs of the children. Father's out working. What does the father work all day for? To meet the needs of his wife, to meet the needs of his kids, to meet the needs of, you know, whatever. To meet needs. And yet that's what a servant does. When a servant, oh, friend, you know, and so I think that God's really trying to open us up to seeing him the way he really is. And there's so much I want to talk about on this. But we're going to start hitting this a little bit more all the time. I really believe the friendship realm of God is going to be revealed to us in a way that we've never seen or known before. And we're not going to be saying, start hearing these people, I've even heard Sid Roth. I love Sid Roth. Sid Roth's got a lot of good stuff. Him, oh, you don't be tough, be buddies with God, you know. I mean, he's kind of got that thing going on a little bit. I think we all have had some, but there's this religious spirit's kind of gotten a hold of all of us to a certain degree, trying to get us to, you know, oh, you can't get too buddied up with God because you might try to get by with something, and you know what? He ain't going to let you get by with nothing, that's for sure. You know, like he's some mafia man, you know, I don't know, so who rules by fear. And so we're going to get rid of that. I'm getting it out of my heart, and hopefully you'll get it out of your hearts, and we'll all get this stuff out of our hearts, and we're going to change. It's not just Sid Roth. It's us. It's a lot of us. God's doing it. He's changing us. And I've heard a lot of other preachers say that about God, too. So I've just used Sid because I heard him say it not recently, just recently. So I'm not critical of Sid, but he's a merchandiser, and I don't like that about him. But I know he loves God, no doubt about it. Okay, so everybody thinks I don't like Sid, and all of you, you're wrong. All right, so, but I'm going to speak the truth about it in love and compassion and put myself in there because I've been the same thing, done the same thing. How can I condemn them? I'd have to condemn myself. Right, okay, so always try to remember that if you can when I'm talking about this stuff like this. I'm going to talk about things, my name, sometimes people by name, not in a shameful way, but in a way like, you know, I taught the same thing. Now they're teaching it. You know, it's wrong. It's not God. It's the wrong image that God's trying to give us of himself. Let's change it. So when you hear sin say it, you're going to go, oh, that's not right. Hopefully. You know? We kind of know what he means in a sense, but he's wrong. He's wrong, and a lot of the other preachers who said it, and myself had said it, is wrong. All right. So this is what God's doing. The friendship realm. We're going to start talking and unloading the friendship realm. Jesus Christ. When I gave this word last night to some friends on PGN from Texas,
it was sharing with them, you know, I started prophesying to them, right? And this friendship thing came up. And so God started speaking to me today, and I woke up with it this morning, and he's telling me that one of the greatest evangelistic tools and shepherding tools and winning people to Christ and changing the image of God in the earth is the friendship realm. Now, I've got to tell you, the last couple of years, I have been, you know, little by little, changing the way I deal with people. Like if I go, you know, to, you know, a store or something, and the clerk, and they're dressed up, and they look like Buddha, you know, or something, or they look like whatever they look like, maybe a transgender or something. They look really, you know, different, you know. And I'm just finding out, I decide I'm not going to look at them like they're transgender. I'm not going to look at them like they're Muslim or some kind of, you know, terrorist hiding behind the camera. I quit looking at them like that, and I'm starting to just, hey, man, what's going on? Like, they're my best friend. And I'm finding out, friend, watch this. There's an anointing for this. And I'm finding myself, you know, I didn't even realize it, that I'm coming under this friendship anointing where Jesus was a friend to sinners or a friend to people who were rejected by the high-ups and the ones who had an image of God that he was way up there high and he didn't really want to talk to us much because we're a bunch of kooks, you know. And so, but to the people that are looking for him and don't already have their mind made up, he's become a friend to them. And so I found myself just recently, like I went to somewhere today and this guy had makeup on and his eyelashes were, you know, he had mascara and the whole thing on. And usually I'm not rude or ugly to people, but I usually just try to ignore that they've got makeup on. I try to ignore the fact that they're overdoing things or a lot. And they have weird looking little clothes on, trying to make it, you know, a show or something. I don't know what they're doing. You know, I just decided that I'm going to look beyond that. I'm going to see them like when they came out of their mama's womb and the way their mama looked at them. And that is, sweet baby doll, that's my boy. That's my girl. And see them in that image instead of the image they have become. And look at them and befriend them and treat them like, you know, and it's not me. You see, it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. It's Christ in me anointing me to be friends with sinners. Now, I don't hang out with them and go to the bars and do what they do. I don't do that. That's not what I do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's an everyday life, looking at people instead of looking down on them, you know, and they may not even know you're religious or a Christian, but they can tell by the way you're looking at them that you at least are prejudiced against something in their life, maybe whatever that would be. And there's different levels of prejudice of all kinds. And so, you know, so I started just breaking that in myself. I said, I'm not just going to ignore the fact that they're dressed weird. I'm going to look at them like, man, you know, I'm not going to tell them they look great with their stuff on. I'm going to say, you know, you're really a nice person. I enjoy your personality and you're a great guy or great girl, whatever it is. And whatever the thing is, and whatever God gives me, it's like he anoints me to be their friend. See what I'm saying? He's anointing me to be their friend, to bring down the image of, you know, whatever it is they think of me and that my appearance is like I'm some redneck, a short-haired, you know, maybe either I'm religious or I'm just, you know, conservative or something, a Republican. And so, you know, I just look at them like, hey, man, you know, you're the greatest person in the room right now. You are the greatest person in this room right now. And, friend, I'm telling you, man, I mean, it is changing the way I leave the room when I leave the room with those people, whoever they are. And it's amazing. There's an anointing for it. I want you to ask God for the anointing of being friends with people, with sinners, with people who are dressed different, act different, different religion, different belief system. They may think that everybody's going to hell except them. So what? Don't look at them like that. Look at them like, hey, you know, you're the best person that I could be friends with in this room right now. And I'm like, how are you? What are you doing? It's so good to see, you know, and be friends with them. And believe me, it's not just being nice to people. There's an anointing for the friendship of Jesus to shine through you so that people can when you walk out of the room, they're going like, man, I don't know who that was, but I feel better.
I just feel better. I feel like I'm important. I feel like, you know, I might have something going on, actually, even though I'm dressed like this. And he's dressed, you know, like my daddy, who didn't really like me that much. And when I started dressing like this, he kind of, you know, looked down on me, you know. And so I want to be all things to all people, and I want to be their friend. That's just what I've decided. And I hope you can hear this tonight. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say and get a hold of this message, because there's an anointing for this. I want everybody to stay with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, I want to be a friend to sinners like you. I want to be a friendly person. Help me be friendly. I'm not really normally that friendly. I'm kind of quiet and shy, you might say about yourself. But you know what? With the anointing, I can do all things. I can befriend people. I can, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go out on a date with them if I'm single. I'm not going to go on a date with them. I'm not going to be spending time doing what they do and all kind of thing. But, you know, every time I see them, I'm going to walk out of the room, and they're going to feel like they were the most important person in that room when I was in there. And I'm going to befriend them while I'm there. Friend, I'm telling you, it's changing me. It's changing me. And it's changing my, I always felt so unfriendly to sinners. I'm never rude to them. I don't go around rebuking them. And I've always tried to win sinners to Christ. But even at that time, I think I was probably, you know, I don't know, really know what I was thinking about, but I know I wasn't perfect, that's for sure. But I think I could have been a lot more friends with them instead of looking down, like, you know what, when you come to Jesus, you won't be only doing that no more. That's for sure. When you come to Christ, you won't want to be doing that stuff you're doing no more. What do I need to bring that up for? Let's get their eyes on Jesus. Let's get their eyes on being friends. Let's get their eyes on what's good and what's holy and what's beautiful with God and the way that God cares about whether that person has something to sleep in at night. You know, they might get cold. Please give the garment back to them, because they might get cold. That's God talking to Moses. Yeah, that's that law giving fire, flames, fire. You know, okay, please, you know, if you take a stroke, please give it back to him before nightfall, because it gets cold out here. And what's he going to sleep in? That's just covering for his skin. Please give it back to him. And if you don't, you know, I'm going to, if he cries out to me, I'm going to hear him, because I'm a gracious God. Wow, man. I mean, I got stuck on that one scripture and just meditated on that, going, God, that wasn't you laying down some rules and laws. That was you showing how you care about people and every little thing you think about, everything, from them getting cold at night. And you don't want that. You don't want them to suffer like that. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't know why that stuck out so strong to me, but it did. And I know God's going to work in me, that's for sure, and I love it. And I think he's going to work in all of us. So give him the glory, and let's minister to people tonight. Let's pray for people. We're so glad you're here tonight. And so if you need anything, we want to be here for you. I think God's just opened up a whole other dimension of who he is to us, or at least he is to me. And so I'm looking forward to it. So, amen. All right, let's take our first caller tonight, and let's see what's going on. It's 754. Hallelujah. All right, hang on a second. Let's go to 75424, my first caller tonight. This is Donald and Tanya, I believe. Hello? Okay. What just went on with that? Okay, so you had to call back in. It's doing that thing again. Okay. All right. Let's go here and
I don't even see you in there. Okay, y'all give me just a moment here. Okay. Okay, y'all hang on a second. I'm having a little problem with the... Okay, I think we got it now. All right, there we go.
Hey, Randy.
We got you. My internet was acting weird. Okay, all right, man. Let's start with Donald and Tanya.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I was talking to the wrong number there, but also I didn't see your number either. So, all right, let's mute you just for a moment. Let's pray for you. Thank you for Donald and Tanya. Lord, we thank you for Donald. God, that a fresh anointing, God of purity, Father, you're purifying us. And when I say purity, I mean like Isaiah had, you know, when the Lord, Isaiah was a prophet, he was serving God, and then all of a sudden Isaiah talks about where, you know, in the year King Uzziah died, the Lord filled the temple. Let's just read it. Hang on a second here. All right, Isaiah 6, verse 1. If I can find the right one here, we go. In the year of that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Let's go here to... The train of his robe filled the temple. Above, I saw a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he had covered his face. With two, he had covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another, he said, and one cried to another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then it talks about how one of the seraphim flew over and put a live coal on his tongue with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and touched my mouth with it, and said, This is what it said to him. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard one of the Lord's servants, who shall I send?
Send us. Okay. Whom shall I send? Send us. It's like I'm seeing this, you know, thing that where the train filled the temple and the glory of God. I mean, I don't think Isaiah was in sin, you know, necessarily like any, maybe not, he wasn't out deliberately willfully sinning. He might have had some issues. Of course, we all have issues. We all have sin in our life to a certain degree. You know, we come short, we doubt, we have different kinds of sins. We don't have the same sins we had with the heathen, that's for sure. But we have doubts and we have different things that we go through. And so Isaiah was serving God, but at the same time, when the glory of God came down and just blew his socks off, and obviously a couple of other things off, he's like going, wow, I'm a man. You know, in other words, he realized that, you know, I'm close to God, but now, you know, I'm seeing that I'm not near close as I want to be, as I can be. And he saw that as sin. He saw that as, man, God, do a work in me. And because he had such a heart for God, the Bible says that the seraphim flew over and took some coals off the altar and perched him, right? And it said, the voice of the Lord said, and then he says, whom shall I send? And also, who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. So there's this thing going on with you. I feel like there's this thing happening. It's either working or going to work or has been working or, you know, it's a process. But of God saying, you know, I'm doing a work in you, man. And so I can send you. And you're going to say, you know, who can I? God's going to say, who can I send? Like, you don't have to go. But you're going like, it's me. I'll go. I will go, God. I will go. Why? Because he cleansed you at a level that you haven't been cleansed at before. He brought you close to God. Like all of a sudden, the King of Glory filled the temple, man. That's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, the doors shook. Everything was rocking and rolling and rocking and reeling. And he's going like, oh, my gosh, what's about to happen here? And the fear of the fear and reverence for awe of God hit him. And all of a sudden, he realized that even though he was already called, he was a prophet who was serving God, you know, the best he could at the level he was at, God brought him, Donald, at that moment to a whole nother level. And I feel like, I think it was last year in January, I can't remember what, I think it was last, I get, the years are getting mixed up with me now with all the people, different experiences that people have. But you had an experience with the Holy Spirit, I think about it, in January, not of this year, but the year before, I believe that's right. If I'm getting that correct, and something happened to you, and I believe the train at that time filled the temple in that sense, and God began to pour through you and that kind of thing, and so that was kind of like, to me at least, it was me seeing, as a servant of God, seeing God going, you know, and the glory is going to fill his temple, and the King is going to show up as the King, and you're going to see the King. What is a king? He didn't come up as Savior. He didn't come up as he came up as King. He came. He said that that. Let me see what it says here. This is all important here. Yeah, kings are in the train of his house drove, fill the temple and the seraphims and the two covered the feet. Blah, 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 holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. Eyes have seen the King. There it is right there. I knew the King was in there somewhere. So he saw the King. And you know, not the boss, not the head shepherd, you know, all that's glorious, but the King. There's something about the King. What does a king do? A king rules with, okay, Donald, we don't vote when I'm king. I mean, Donald Trump was king, we voted. Biden was king, you know, we voted. But we're not going to vote me in. So when he shows up as king, they understood kings way more than we do. And when the King showed up, He saw him as the ruler whom I, you know, submit to, whom, and there's no voting. There's no, okay, yeah, God, I don't think I'm going to vote on that. I'm not going for that one. You know, I'm not really going to vote for that. Sorry, that my will, not your will. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just, and he goes, okay, well, let's see how many people can get to vote. He didn't ask you how many people are going to vote for you. He just says, this is what I'm my will. So he got a revelation, and he saw and had a refreshing moment where the king, the ruler, the one who says, when he sends you somewhere to do something, you know, it's like you're privileged if you get to go do it. And I saw this thing with you, like the privilege of the king who says, you know, Donald, who can I send? And you go, well, why not send me? I'll go. I will go. Because because that visitation, the kingship anointing is different than the voting anointing where you vote on what you want to do and what you don't want to do. The kingship thing is like he's ruling, and if we can somehow rule with him or get, you know, like in Christ, we're seated with him in heavenly places. In the natural realm, you know, Peter, James, and John, they all wanted to sit at his right hand and rule with him, right? Because that was kind of a thing. So it's like in the spirit, it's like, okay, you see the king, you know, Lord, you know, I want to sit with you and rule with you. In other words, I want your rule to rule over me. Whatever you want me to do, I will go do it. And all of a sudden he was refreshed with a spirit of repentance, if you will, a cleansing from, you know, okay, I want to do the will of God, but, you know, but it's like something happened to him and God cleansed him on a level of God is king, and what a privilege and an honor it would be to serve him. I would lay my life down for him. And it brought him to a new awareness of the authority of the king, and that I'm his servant, that it's an honor to serve him. It'd be an honor to die for him. I would die for him. When they died for Jesus, Peter, James, all those guys died for Jesus, they said, please don't hang us. Please don't hang us on the cross like Jesus. Hang us upside down. We're not worthy to be like he was. And it's such a privilege to die. Peter and them had a revelation of the king and the honor it is to serve him, and would lay their life down for him. But before that, Jesus saw him as the Christ, but he didn't see him as the king. He said, who do you mean to say that in? Oh, you're the Christ. And he still denied him, right? He still denied him. And yet he still saw how the king of the Messiah loved him anyway and chose him to preach to, you know, on the day of Pentecost. So there's this thing going on with you, and I think God is like, since that time you had that experience a year ago, or over a year ago, whatever it was, that something began to unfold in you, and God is bringing it, you know, back to you again tonight, obviously, through me. So get ready, man. And it's like, you know, get ready to be sent. Get ready to say. Get ready to dream. Get ready to believe. You know, who can I send? Oh, me. Send me, Lord. Send me, Jesus. Send me. I just had an outpouring on me. I just had a fresh, you know, I've been cleansed, I've been washed, I'm closer to you, I see you more as king than I do as any other thing. Oh God, yes, send me, because I'll come under your authority, your full authority. Whatever you say, I will not question you. I will do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hey, man, what a way to start out Tuesday night. Oh, hang on a second, I'm going to hang up this other number because I keep clicking on it. Okay, sorry about that. All right, I've got the right one now. Cool, man. No, what's going on?
That's powerful. No, everything is fine. Everything is going great. And the funny thing, I was trying to look for it on my phone, but it was on my old phone. I think it was a few years ago, or probably a year or a few years ago. I had wrote a poem, and that's the title. That was the name of the title. It was called "Send Me," and it was based on that verse that you just read. Yeah. Like, as you were talking, I was trying to look for it. I said, man, I lost it. I lost it because I left it in my other phone in the notes. And, yeah. But yeah, I have said that and prayed that couple of times, but I also prayed that, you know, of course, like he built me up, you know, fill me up and make me prepare to be sent. But yeah, I do have that in me where I do say, yeah, build me up and send me, because I wanna be, you know, sent out, and I wanna show. It's like I wanna show proof of who God is, the real God, and you know, and it's like I'm praying. I've been praying for, you know, the glory and the manifestation, and just to show proof, you know, to whoever I encounter. You know, just to show them who God is, like showing the real God, and just to manifest the Holy Spirit to them, you know, in a way that they can't deny, you know. So, but it was definitely a powerful word. And lately I've just been, you know, I've just been really contemplating and meditating and just, you know, just talking to God and, you know, trying to get to another level, but also understanding that, you know, it feels like it has to come with more consecration, you know, some things that I have to let go, not even bad things, it's just, you know, just be, you know, more dedicated, consecrated, more sacrifice, you know, and that's yeah. What I've been feeling is just because I want to get to mm-hmm. another level with God. I want to be able to see him, like you were saying, be able to see him, be able to commune with him on a more real and tangible level. And I've just been thinking that, you know, I've just been getting my mind ready. You know, I haven't really done it yet, and, you know, but I have been talking to myself and saying, hey, in order to get there, you're going to have to consecrate yourself more than you are now. You're going to have to sacrifice, you know, more than you're doing now. And that's where my mind frame has been, you know, because it's like what you want it, but it's going to take more. So I've been thinking about that, and it goes in line with what you were prophesying.
Listen to this just for a minute. I think that this may be part of an answer for you, because now you're telling me you're doing that. I think that what happened with Isaiah was, I think he was all like us. You know, he's living everyday life. He's a prophet, right? And he's serving God. He's doing his prophet things, you know, and kind of. But there's something inside of him that's going like, you know, I need to come to a higher level. You know, I need to be more dedicated. I mean, I think like that, you know, too. I mean, like going, God, it'll be a privilege for you to take me to a higher level. You know, what do I have to do that? What do I have to do? Is there something that I need to do to do that? And that's kind of what I think, that's kind of our basic question. So Isaiah, I think, was the same way. Any man of God who's called of God has that desire in them to be more dedicated to God, to be the greatest man of God, you know, and meaning not popular and everybody likes us so much, as being in God's eyes, you know, the greatest man of God we can be. And we want that because we're his servants. But here's what happened. Here's maybe an answer for you, that just like what happened to you, when was that, like a year ago in a January, not this last January, but the January before that, was that when that happened to you, but the Holy Spirit hit you?
I think it probably was January 2019, if I'm not mistaken. I think 2019.
Okay,
so I get the years mixed up too.
I do too. Yeah. So what happened to you then? Were you sanctifying yourself and setting yourself apart, or did it just happen? I mean, were you doing your regular seeking God like you always do, or did you have some?
Yeah, no, I was doing the regular thing. I didn't go with no mindset to consecrate or anything.
Okay, there you go.
It was just I didn't.
Okay, that's what I thought you would say, because that's what I would be saying too. And it's not that you're unspiritual because you weren't heavily fasting and seeking God. There's sometimes I've really fasted and sought God. And even when I fasted and sought God, it didn't seem like I was seeking him good enough. You know, there's never seemed like you're doing it quite good enough. But listen, this is what I'm hearing the Lord say. That's why I asked you, how did that happen to you? Were you like, you know, lifting your hands up and say, God, I'm going to stand here in this position with my hands up for 3 years if I have to, for 3 months, for three solid days. Tanya's going to have to hold my arms up because I'm not going to, until you do something. You weren't doing that, just like I wouldn't. Isaiah wasn't doing that either. He was doing his regular thing, kind of had a desire, you know, to be used by God more, of course, like we all do. But all of a sudden, what happened? Boom, man, the train filled the temple. He's prophesying. I don't know what he's doing. He's seeing things. He's feeling like, you know, the glory of God filled the room so powerful. He felt like he was, you know, unclean. You know, it wasn't like he was a sinner, like going out hiding and doing some bad stuff. But he was like going like, you know, like, oh, my God, man, here it is. What I've really kind of been wanting without even really trying hard, all of a sudden God just shows up and explodes in the room. And now I'm seeing myself as needing to get closer to God. I mean, I kind of already knew it, that we all need to get closer. But now it's like something exploded, and now it's all different. And now it's happened to me. And it wasn't because I did anything. Here's the point I want to make to you that I think God's trying to show you, is that when that happened to you, that brought you to I remember you talking about that, man. You were, like, excited. You were thrilled. You were going like, oh, my God. Because it just happened to you.
Mm.
It just, like, happened to you.
Yeah.
And this is what went on with Isaiah. It just happened to him. I mean, not that he didn't desire it, but all of a sudden, boom, it happened, and it opened him up to another dimension of God that he had never seen before. He had never seen those people be unclean before. He thought they were just like him, regular good people, love God. And all of a sudden, he was unclean, and they were unclean, which meant that he had his eyes open to a whole other realm. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I see happening with you. I see that going on with you.
Myself. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I unplugged myself. My phone call. And so, you know, so I think what I think the Lord's trying to do is, it's not that it's not, it's always good to seek him and fast and pray, and of course, no question about that at all. But the thing is that that's not what did it really so much as it was his continual daily, you know, I love you, God. I know there's more. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be. Do I need to really fast hard and pray hard and all that kind of thing? There's times, dude, I fasted hard and prayed hard for months. And, you know, I mean, and would fast and pray and nothing seemed to happen. And then when I least expected it, all of a sudden one day, boom, man, it's like the glory of God filled the room. And I had a dream of, I mean, like when God spoke Joseph Biden to me. Joseph Biden. I mean, I kind of woke up going, what was that guy? You know, like, what? What? Joseph who? Joseph Biden? Oh, my God. What is that? You know, and it's like, and many other things that happened to me. I had a vision of the two witnesses. I had a vision, you know, of the Antichrist. The thing. I mean, I didn't ask for any of that stuff. But when I saw it, when it happened to me, it opened me up to things that, you know, I mean, I didn't even know to ask for that. I would have never asked for that. To give me a revelation on the Antichrist and the devil showing up and me swinging the sword, I would have never even thought about asking about that. That was just too big. That was too amazing, too, you know what I'm saying? So get ready, dude, because God is, you know, something's happening. I don't know, that time you had that experience, that's kind of an example of what I'm prophesying to you tonight. That's kind of what happened to you then, in a sense. The train just filled the temple. You're prophesying to your wife, and the Spirit of God's telling her, I love you, dude, and something happened. Suddenly.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, I expected it to happen, happen like that. And you're right. There's like the way it happened is not like I was doing anything extra. Actually, I was just, it was just really nonchalant. It was just, I just went in just to pray and, you know, with nothing and no, preconceived, thing I was going to do. And it just hit me. And, yeah, I believe that's how, 'cause I think because we have the prayers. We have the prayers, and we constantly pray about them. And, we, you know, like if I pray, I say, God, I want to see your glory. I'm knocking on heaven's door. But it probably doesn't happen in the time that I'm knocking or the time that I'm pressing. And just like you said, then one day it'll just happen when I least expect it, you know?
Yeah.
But I receive it. I receive it.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to keep focused on what I'm hearing in between the lines, and that is that don't condemn yourself because you're not, you know, doing what other people do. You know, like they told David, they said, David, Goliath is going to take you down, man. You need some armor. Put on Saul's armor. Put on Saul. You need this kind of an armor on. You need this kind of thing. You're going to fight. And what did David say? He said, I can't do that. I got to fight the way I fight. I can't. He'll sure enough kill me if I put that armor on, because I won't be able to run any with my rock. Number one, because the armor is so heavy, I can't do this. And so what I think God's doing is He's wanting you to know that the image that other people have, maybe the way they broke through, maybe the way they wear their armor, maybe the way they do their thing, they do their warfare, they do their prayers, they do the thing. God is saying to you, don't be condemned by that. Like they try to condemn David. Oh, if you don't, you know, David said, just trust me. I'm going to go out there with my slingshot and a few rocks in my bag, and that's all I need. That's how I took down the lion and the bear. You know, I'm sorry. I can't do it your way. Your way is great. Not that we condemn people for their way. You see what I'm saying? And I think that somehow creeping up inside of you like it does in me is, I'm not doing what so-and-so's doing. And, well, you know, they got this and they got that. And it's because they said they did this and that and the other. And I might try that, but it just doesn't fit right with me. I don't know. I can't seem to fit into that kind of thinking. Not that it's wrong, but it's just not for me. And I think that God's, again, it seemed like the last time I thought, one of the last few times I talked to you, keeping the original thing about you and God and what God's doing in you and not what everybody else is doing.
Amen. Well, I hear that. And, I'll keep that in mind. I think about that too. I always think about, you know, my relationship with God, and it's just my relationship. You know, I think about it. It's just our unique relationship where we have our thing, and somebody else might have a different type of relationship with them. And I try to hold on to that and focus on that. And that's just a confirmation.
Right.
It's just a confirmation of how I usually move, because I'm really strong on my personal relationship with them. And, you know, it might, you know, somebody else, it might be different, and they might be like, well, I never asked for that when I prayed or talked like that to God or whatever. But I just have my own, I've built my own relationship with them. And, but, you know, from what I'm hearing from you, is just, you know, just keep that, what I'm doing and
pure.
What we're doing. With, that yeah.
Okay, I'm getting more about this. So I know I keep kind of interrupting you. I'm sorry I'm doing that. But it's like God's really trying to say, keep pure. Keep pure. So what's pure mean?
Mm.
Does it mean don't go out and, you know, commit some sin, you know, or do that? No, that's not. That's the sin here, the uncleanness would be, not that it is, but would be you taking on Saul's armor and trying to do it Saul's way. You see what I'm saying? So God is saying purity. I've told people many times now that what God showed me, purity is not smoking. It's not drinking. It's not smoking. It's not committing, you know, sins. Purity is being what God has made you to be, the way you are right now, even though you're not perfect. But anytime we try to take on somebody else's, whatever they are, we try to do that, it defiles us. We become defiled. We may be more holy than we used to be as far as the way we act, but we're not being the real us. We're not being the real us. Our relationship with God, our fellowship with God, the way we do it, the way God wants us to do it, Instead, we defile ourselves with trying to be, you know, take on somebody else's stuff when it doesn't fit us.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. And it's about him. It's about him keeping you pure, in the image of purity being, you know, don't try to put on Saul's armor. And when it's tempting, you may not be tempted to do that right now, but, you know, next week, next month, a year from, you know, 6 months from now, I don't know. I don't know what this is for. I don't know why this should be said exactly. But it's like the Lord says, stay pure, man, and understand what purity is between you and me. Purity between you and me, Donald, between the Lord and you, is just be what I've made you. Fellowship with me the way you fellowship with me. That's purity to me, saith the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I'm hearing say. So anyway, okay, I think I'm trying to, I think I'm through with that.
Nah, amen. I receive it. And I'm looking forward to what else God got in store for the glory, like you were talking about earlier. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and but I won't press, and you know, I'll just let God do his thing, and I'll do what I do, and I'll let God do his thing. And once he wants to, you know, show me the glory and manifest that type of way, then, you know, just like last time, I know he'll do it.
Yeah, it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. And it's going to happen because you love him. It's going to happen because you are pursuing him every day in your life, the way you do it. If you didn't pursue him the way you do it, the way God wants you to do it, then I would say start doing what God wants you to do. You know what I'm saying? Start doing that. But that's not the point tonight. The point is that he's going to come to you the way he comes to you, the way he does it with you, and not with somebody else, but with you. And so,
amen.
Anyway, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So very cool. So get ready, man. I don't know when it's going to happen, what's going to happen, but the glory of the Lord is going to fill the temple, and it's going to take you to a whole other level of seeing God, knowing God, and knowing how to minister his people, because all of a sudden Isaiah saw the people around him as unclean. Not like, oh, they're bad, they're evil, because he was seeing himself as unclean too. He moved to a level where he could help them more, where he could bring them closer to God, basically. That's what was being said.
Amen.
Okay, what's going on? Anything
else?
What's happening?
No, basically you hit everything. But you know, I just had in my mind just to I just wanted prayer for for school that me and Tanya have been, you know, having in our mindset to open. But we just don't have, we haven't had any clear direction. But you know, it's just been something like both of us want to do and pursue. But we haven't had like the opportunity. And you know, sometimes we're like in a middle place, like as far as, man, how do we start? Where do we start? And plus with our lifestyle and you know, with everything going on. How do we start?
Right.
You know, so I just, you know, just in our mind, and I'm just praying, just wanted prayer, like, you know, for that, for us to open up like a daycare, a school for kids, you know, and you know, it's just been it's been a dream for a few years, so we're just trying to see, okay, how do we put one foot in front of the other and go with it?
Right. Yeah, interesting, very interesting. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. So we just open up that for publicly in the public arena for people to pray and for us to pray. We thank you, Jesus, for opening up that school, God, and showing them how to take the small steps. You know, we got to get out of the boat, and Peter started taking small steps. First of all, he had to see if the water was going to hold him up. And when it did, he went, oh my gosh, the water's holding me up. This is, whoa, it was his first step. Like he kind of kept one foot in the boat and the other foot. He kind of like, Jesus, how's Jesus doing that? Walk on water. I've never walked on water before. Nobody can walk on water, but he's doing it. He said, I could just, he had one boat, one foot in the boat and the other one out in the water, kind of like pressing down the water, going, how does this work, man? And when the water held his foot up, he went, okay, all right, now just very carefully try to take the leg out of the boat and the foot and put it on the boat and see if it's still, yeah, oh, wow, it's holding up both feet. Oh, my God. Now let me try to take a step. So he tries to take a step. I mean, I think that's kind of what happened, basically, with him. So that's kind of the process God will bring you through is, that very process. So thank you, Jesus, for opening up and showing Don and Tanya how to get their foot out of the boat, one foot out of the boat, and put their foot in the water to see if it's going to hold them up. And when it does, then they're going to put another foot in the water. And then they're going to take a little step, and then they're going to be going, oh, my gosh, we're actually walking on this water. This is amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for showing the process and helping them to, know how to work faith. God's going to teach you how to work faith and how to let faith work you. We work our faith, and faith works us. So God's going to show you how to work your faith and how to let faith work you. Like faith comes by hearing. So when you hear, the hearing is going to work you, going to show you, going to show you how to work. And so I thank you, Lord, for them stepping out in a whole other level, God, and just broadening them, opening them up to a bit the business world and how to shepherd people, because that's kind of like shepherding. You're watching over their kids, man. You got school going on. You got this thing. So we thank you, Jesus, for the shepherding them. Rising up and people going, man, you guys have a shepherd's heart. You know, we want to bring our kids. We're going to bring our kids over here because you guys have a heart for God and you have a heart of a shepherd. And blah blah blah. Blah, blah. So we thank you, Jesus, for that process and letting them see that. That's why you're calling them to that and bring them into the business world and into the shepherding world. Because that's kind of like shepherding, but really shepherding a church in a sense. I mean, when you have a school with kids, I mean that's kind of what you're doing. So we thank you, Jesus, for opening that up and showing them how to do that step by step, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Interesting.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah. You're welcome. Let's pray for Tanya. And whenever we're through here, are you anything else I can pray with you about, or what's up?
No. That was it. I was just gonna ask for prayer for Tanya, and yeah, that was it.
Okay, great, awesome. Let's pray for her. I'll mute you, and then is she there to talk, or are you just gonna pray for her?
Yeah, she's here. She's here. Hold up.
Okay. I don't know if she was taking care of the kids. Hey, Tanya, how are you doing? All right.
Hello?
Good. Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yes.
Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second so we don't have any background noise. And then I'm going to mute you just for a second. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya. We thank you, Lord, for, like, talking about the school thing. I'm just going to go with that. God, I thank you for showing Tanya the part of the shepherd's heart that you've given her, Father, and the school thing and all that. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't get a word about that. But as Tanya, as Donald mentioned that, we thank you, Jesus, for revealing the shepherd, how to be a shepherd, how to, taking care of children and talking to parents and all that kind of thing. We thank you, Jesus, for letting this be a training school, if you will, for shepherding, for, how to handle people and do business at the same time. And thank you, Lord, that all the things you're going to teach them, give them wisdom. And Father, and show them that this whole thing is going to bring them to a level of maturity and even financials like they've never had before. And so I thank you, Jesus, for this next step. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing that. We thank you, Lord, for opening that up. And in Jesus' name, and the calling that you call her, that shepherd calling that they both have to, like a mother is a shepherd in a sense. A father is a shepherd. No one can be a shepherd, in that sense, and not be necessarily be called to be a pastor of a church necessarily, but they can be one and the same in many ways. And I thank you, Jesus, for that shepherding anointing and that calling in the business world and when to be tough and when to be gentle and when to be kind and when to be
you know, let people know this is how we do it and this is how we're going to do it. And so how to be strong and how to be bold and yet be tender and compassionate at the same time, and give them the balance of how to roar like a lion when they need to and be gentle as a lamb and meek as a lamb, and working meekness inside of her gut so she can develop them as business people, but as shepherds at the same time. Because when people see you're a shepherd and you have a heart for kids and a heart for their kids especially, they're going to love you. So I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to show Tanya your love in a way, in that sense, in Jesus' name. And it's going to be a real growth time for her, Father, and I thank you for anointing her for that. I thank you for pouring your spirit out upon her, God, and put their skills together, Father, for a book to walk in that water, God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Since we got on that, that's just all I can pray about right now for somebody. So that's pretty cool. Awesome. So what's going on, Tanya? How are you?
Amen. Amen. I'm good. I receive it. Like Donald said, this has been a dream of ours. So I'm praying God just break the chains and, you know, for this to happen. So I received the prayer. I just can't wait. I just can't wait to just come here and testify.
Yeah. So have y'all had any ideas at all about how to get started, or are you kind of waiting for that from the Lord, or what?
Yeah, we do. It's just mostly, I would say, you know, financial and timing, really.
Okay.
I know you
yeah.
prophesized about like 2 years ago about, you know, seeing us getting license and everything in the building. So, you know, we've been trusting the Lord since then. And I really feel like it's more like timing and, you know, but we do. It's just, I feel like it's, you know, we know what to do, but we just feel like, okay, but how do we step out? And we don't want to step out without God just giving us the green light. And I feel like, you know, this is something I've been wanting to do. We did research. We went to seminars. It's just, like I said, it's just the financial part of it and then the timing part of it. Just waiting to, okay, when do we actually do it? So we're just trusting God to just,
right.
you know, just let us know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's there's a lot to think about there. And once you start feeling the Lord's calling you to it, it's like when he looked up and saw Jesus walk on the water, the first thing he asked him is, can I come? You know, do you want me to do this? And the Lord went,
yeah,
come on. And so I think that, like I told Donald, he probably put one foot out and kind of hung on to the boat and kind of put his foot down there to see if it would hold him up. And when it did, he was surprised. And he said, well, let's try the other foot. His tank's probably still hanging on to the boat. And put the other foot out there and put it on the water. And he went, oh, my gosh, it's actually holding me up. And so I think that's kind of the process that we have. And then he began to walk a little bit, and then he probably began to walk faster. And so I think that's kind of the process. It's like, some people want to jump out both feet in the water. I'm not saying that can't be done, but sometimes you have us take one foot out of the boat at a time to see if that's going to hold you up. Just start, you know, stepping toward it.
Amen. No, I totally agree, Randy. It's the same testimony with us getting this house. It's just, I felt in my spirit, I woke up one day, I started praying on it. I just put my foot out, and then I just, you know, at that time we were still living in our previous home, and I just said, I'm going to go see your house today. And, you know, I remember getting on my knees and pray, and then the rest is history. I spoke to, you know, when I went and just started looking at a house, and the realtor was like, you know, started asking questions. I said, well, I do have a house, to be honest with you. I'm just here because I just felt led to be here. And, you know, the day that we were signing, and at that time I remember he was like, man, you guys have a great testimony. And then, you know, when we were signing to actually get the house, he mentioned that. And I remember, too, I just wanted to make sure if what we were doing is from the Lord, and you kind of confirm it. And you said, you see us getting a house. But
oh,
I felt like me just stepping out, yes, I just felt like, I just had that. And then that's the same gut feeling I'm asking God just to, you know, for this daycare business. And you're right. Maybe we don't have to put both feet, but maybe just get out there and just like, all right, God, I'm going to do this. You do the rest. So, yeah. So that's one of the testimony I can definitely say that I put one foot out. I got up that day, got dressed. My sister was like, are you crazy? But you have a house. Where are you going? I said, yeah, but I want my dream house. So this is the house I want. And I was just looking at it. We didn't get that house, but the house that I envisioned, that's exactly, you know, and then, you know, God did it. And now October, September, going to make it 2 years we've been there. And let me tell you, Randy, when you step out the boat, the Lord will provide. So, and he's been providing. He's been a great provider. So I'm just, you know, if he's done it before, I know he can definitely do it again. So I'm trusting him. I know last time you were praying for me. There's another thing, you know, before we leave, I would like for you to pray for me too. I've been asking, you know, the Lord for a car. That was just on my heart. I didn't even tell Donald. And then one day you said, I see you getting a car, like a new car. I was like, oh my God. That was one of those times when you just pray. I don't think I spoke to you at that time. I was like, I said, wow. I said, Donald, I didn't want to tell you because it's always me that always have those thoughts in my head. And I don't want Donald to be like, listen, we give you the house. What was you? Now you just want a new car.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have it in mind. I've been asking the Lord for a car, for a new car. But when you prophesize it, I'm like, man. I want to step out, but I'm like, God, this time I'm waiting because I don't want Donald to say, well, you're always stepping out. But I'm just going to trust God one of these days, just like I did with the house. I'm just going to, you know, so you can pray for that. But you did, like I said, you did prophesy that. I was blown away. I'm like, man, I didn't even tell. That was my personal prayer to God, actually. That was a personal prayer. I didn't even want to tell Donald because I know he might be like, we can't afford a new car right now. And that's exactly what he was saying. No, we cannot afford it. But when you mention it, when you prophesize on it, I was like, you know what? Maybe God just want me to, hey, just step out of, you know, step out on faith.
Yeah.
But I'm still praying on that. You know, I'm just praying for the financial blessings to come through. But this is one of my personal prayers. As well, that, you know, I want God to bless us with a new car.
Awesome, awesome. All right, cool, man. Yeah, I think it's provision time, and you know, he's teaching us how to, you know, just step out, and when he says come, you know, then we start stepping out, and stepping out opens up doors when it's him, you know. So that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, you know, do you want me to come? And when the Lord said, yeah, I mean, then he had the Lord's approval. It's like, even though he sunk a little bit, you know, he's the only human being I know of other than Jesus walk on water. I don't know anybody else who ever walked on water but Peter, besides Jesus. And you never hear of it anywhere. I've never heard of it anywhere. And it's like, you know, and then
his face, the first message at Pentecost. You know, the first revival, you know, he's going to be preaching it because he. And so, so God has to show us how to do that. And so it's really cool. But I'm getting a lot of background noise on the phone. I don't know what's going on there.
Yes, I hear it too. I don't know if it's on my side or on your side.
I'm cutting it.
Yeah, I think it's from your side,
man.
Hello?
There you go. Okay, I lost you guys for a second. All right. Well,
yes, yeah. I think the, yeah.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, that was her. Okay, I was here. I'm not sure if they were saying something else or not. All right, give me just a moment. to hear. And I like you. Okay.
Hey, Randy. Hello, Randy. Hello.
Oh, there we go. I had you on mute. Sorry about that. Are you there?
Yeah.
You're
like a train.
Yeah. Hank, can you hear that static, or is that just on my end?
I think that's your end.
Okay, so you're not hearing that static. Okay. Hang on a second here. Let me do something here. All right, Gary, you there?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, there. Yeah, I think I got it fixed. I don't know what was going on with that. All of a sudden, we were having noise. Okay, Gary, Gary from Australia, let's pray for Gary. I'm going to mute you just for a second, Gary, and let's pray for you and see what's going on here. We thank you, Jesus, for Gary. We thank you, Lord, for the halftime. It's like you're at halftime, like in a football game or some kind of game. It's like the halftime. And during halftime, you get ready for the second half. And it's like I see you. I don't even know what that is, but I see you in the second half of something. Like you're beginning something, you've already begun something, but it's like you're in the second half and like you're in the last half of it, which is really odd, but, you know, to finish the game, you know, like the second half of a game, like at halftime, you know, you got this intermission period where you're kind of taking it easy and you're in there hearing the coach, you know, hurrah, and telling you things and kind of, finish some quiet time together with the coach, and all of a sudden it's like you go back out on the team, with the team on the field again, and you're back on the field again, and getting ready for getting that second half going on. And I don't know if this is something God's doing with you, the second half of your, you know, like the game of God, your ministry. I'm not sure what this is, but you're really in something that, you know, God wants you to win it. He wants you to win. He wants you to be the one who you know, he's for you. He's with you. And he can show you strategies and how to play and how to do things. And the very strategic part of God showing you his strategies. Like, I mean, when he told certain people in the Bible, you know, don't get an army, just get the praisers and the singers, like he did Jehoshaphat. He said, get the praisers and the singers, send the singers and praisers out before the army. You know, and don't put the army at first, put the singers at first. That was a strategy. So God's giving you strategies because he wants you to win the game. He wants you to win this thing that you're in. And I don't know if it's just in general giving you strategies to win in life, to win in your ministry, to win in your calling, to win in, you know, your marriage and your family, whatever that, you know, in your anointing. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but so something's going on with that. Whatever that is, I'm not sure. But God's giving you strategies and showing you how to win, showing you how to be a winner on his terms. Like God would tell Elijah what to do, and Elijah would do it. You know, and sometimes he would tell other prophets, you know, what to do, how to fight this battle. Like with Gideon, he told Gideon, you know, to get 300 men, only 300, not 3,000, not 30,000, 300. Get him up on this hill and then break the pots and, you know, the candle light, and then blow the trumpet, and sure enough, you know, they won an amazing victory. And so I see God download the strategies for you to win things. Cool, man. I'll take some of that.
That's always good to hear you, Randy.
You too, Gary. Seems like it's been a while. It's good to have you back.
Yeah. Before I get talking, can you also pray for Amelia?
Amelia, your wife?
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's pray for her. Thank you, Jesus, for Amelia. Thank you, Lord, for settling her down, giving her that feel like she can settle down and put her roots in, feel at home, feel like she's got her roots in, and that peace of knowing that, you know, you're with her, God, and that you're with her, what she's doing, and giving her peace, God, she knows that you're with her, because the Bible says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is a difficult time, but we fear no evil because thou art with me. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving her that revelation that you're with her and that she doesn't have to fear any evil of any kind, of any sort. And such, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death isn't really necessarily real death, but it's the threatenings of death, like threatenings of losing things or losing people or losing money or losing a job or losing stuff and things getting lost or dying on you, you know, like something drying up. Like when the river dried up for Elijah, you know, and the raven quit bringing him food, he went to the widow of Zarephath. So God always made a way where there seemed to be no way. And I thank you, Lord, for feeding her faith, God, and letting her roots get in with you, that you are her supplier and her source and her provision in Jesus' name for what she needs. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey,
what's going on with
Kill?
How are y'all doing? Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. We're good. I enjoyed your talk at the front of the.
Oh, thank you.
When you're talking before.
Right.
Reminded me of there was a sermon a couple of weeks ago at church. Actually, we've got a new pastor, and he was talking about the washing of the disciples' feet.
Oh.
So he was talking about that, and then that reminded me of a vision I had. Oh, it must have been maybe 15 years ago. I was in a little prayer group. They didn't know me, and I was kind of stepping out into the prophetic back then a little bit more. And anyway, I got my eyes shut, and I'm just soaking up God's presence, and I saw Jesus. He was washing my feet, and then the
wow.
Vision. I said to him, "What are you doing? I've come to serve you, Gary." I'm talking in the vision. What, you've come to serve me? Anyway, that was really strong. And then I opened my eyes. I didn't tell anyone. My brother was sitting near me. He said, "I just want to share something for you, Gary." I'm like, "Oh yeah, what's that?" He said, "I just seen Jesus washing your feet."
Wow, that's amazing.
And then he said, "He's come to serve you." I'm like, "What?"
Wow, dude, that's amazing.
Very humbling, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I never actually thought about it like, you know, I was sharing tonight. That was totally spontaneous and totally brand new. I've never thought about it like that before. I was talking with somebody last night from Texas, and I said for the first time, I saw this for the first time ever, I said there was something about when Jesus washed their feet, that he had an anointing for washing feet with his friendship. You know, in other words, he wouldn't look down on people. He became friends with them. He had a friendship anointing to where when you show friendly to people, people open themselves up to you. They don't feel like you're looking down on them. They don't feel like you think you're better than them or worse than them. They feel like you're like, you see something about them that you like, and they like you, and it's like you start a friendship. It's like it opens them up to God, and I've never seen friendship being an anointing before. I've never seen that. And so I said, what Jesus was doing, he was washing their feet. He was washing their feet with friendship. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
That was brand new for me.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good. That gives me something else to chew on.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said your pastor was talking about it this weekend, and then you're connecting that to the the time he came and washed your feet. And I've never seen, I've honestly have never seen where a servant, what's a servant there for? To meet your needs, right? I mean, if you have a servant
yep.
and he's working for you, what's his whole job? Whatever you need, he gets it for you, right?
Yep.
I mean, from taking care of your kids to feeding the cows to washing the car to you need some water, you're tired, you just all you do is tell him, hey, I need some water. So what does a servant do? Meets your needs. What does God say he does for us? He meets our needs, man. I've never thought about it like that before ever in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And just thinking now, hopefully I can get the words out properly, but also a sign of, I'm only just seeing it now, like you're saying about the friendship and Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. It's a sign of purity and cleansing, and that's how we should see other people, that we wouldn't just... We'll see the sin, but we look deeper than that, and we see the heart of God in that person. So we are friends to other people. We don't, you know, like you're saying about homosexuals, we don't look at that. We look at who they are. They got sin there, but once that sin's removed, it's purity. It's that cleansing.
Right. Well, and you treat them like
other people. Mm-hmm. For us to serve other people, it's a part of the cleansing and washing. It's showing them purity, showing them love.
Wow, that's
even
good.
Even just thinking now about the lady who wipes Jesus' feet with a hair.
Oh, wow, that's right.
And the whole friendship takes on another level.
Right. That
you
does.
Get to, you get to know someone
that.
And you see their sin, but they can be, you know, you look, you can see it and you want to deal with it, but you're looking at, you know, through the eyes of God and how he loves them.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty, pretty big thing.
Yeah, I just never thought about the friendship realm as an anointing and the purpose for it is to break down the walls. The purpose for friendship, when Jesus was friend to sinners, what was that all doing? It was breaking down those walls that all the religious hierarchy had that they wouldn't even talk to them. They wouldn't get unclean if they got too close to them. But here Jesus is, he's
exactly.
There being their friend, breaking down walls instead of building walls. That's amazing,
yeah.
Man. I never
yep.
thought about that, yeah.
Yeah, and that woman, I kept thinking about that woman with the hair. Well, she anointed him.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
And yet Jesus was
good.
Showing to anyone, to everyone, he's the anointed one.
Yeah.
So come and
serve him. Wow. Yeah, and one thing she was doing was she was anointing him for his burial. I mean, that's a very specific kind of anointing she was anointing him for. I don't even know if she knew she was doing that, but he did. He said, what are you
yeah.
doing, Judith? You can't stop this. She's anointing me for my burial. They're going like, anointing you for what? Why would anybody want to anoint you for burial? Because that was what, until he was buried, died and buried, we couldn't be saved.
That's right.
So she was,
and
in a sense, yeah, activating it. Go ahead.
And then his feet were pierced. Ah!
Yeah. Yeah. And the greedy religious guy, you know, couldn't get a hold of it. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really a good thought. I had not thought about Mary. That's Mary. Mary. Yeah. So she was doing that. Yeah. There's just something about that where I've been asking the Lord. I never felt like I've actually been a real friend to sinners. I can't say I've always, you know, went up to Jesus to try to get him saved, but you know, I don't think I ever considered myself being able to just be friends with them, you know, and now I realize the last few years I've been, you know, watching the Lord do that through me and realizing that there's an anointing for that. And it's his anointing.
Yeah.
It's not about compromise and just look, like you said, you talk about, you know, I was talking about transgenders and homosexuals and people that are just obvious, maybe into witchcraft and, you know, okay. We just, you know, we look down on them and they know we look down on them. And so I think that what Jesus did is that he opened up the door for them to see him as, yeah, I'm not gonna do your stuff with you, but on a human level, you're my creation, and I love you because you're my creation. You may be a messed up creation, but you're my creation, and I'm your friend. I'm the best friend you've got because I see you as you were when you came out of your mama's womb before you did anything wrong, as an innocent child, who has a lot of value.
Yeah.
Yeah, never saw that.
Yeah,
before.
That's great. There's a lot in it.
Yeah.
Even the thinking about the scripture about feet, about the good news. You know, what is that scripture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, concerning the prophecy. So Mia and myself, not Amelia. Are going to move for 1 year.
You got what now?
Somewhere. We're going to move towns.
Oh, you're going to move. Okay.
So that's you're spot on about the what you're saying about the football game.
Oh, about the roof.
Kind of like
about finding your feeling at home.
Like the halftime.
Okay.
Strategies, and also
right.
Concerning my prophetic gift as well. So this all ties in together. I think something's happening with my gifting to be used more, maybe in another place. That's kind of half time at the moment for me. That's right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Interesting.
We're not sure what we're going to do with this. If we're going to rent this house here we're living in now, or we're going to buy another house, or we're going to rent another one, or we're just seeking God about that. So,
right.
Yeah, what you said about Amelia fits in too.
Yeah, and about her finding her roots. You know, like roots is like finding your home where you feel like you've got your roots in there and feeling at home. I think it's part of my prayer was that she finding her roots and feel at home and feeling like she belonged or something like, maybe that's what it had to do with too. I'm not really sure, but you know, finding that house where your home, where you put your roots in and everybody dreams of that.
Yeah. We've been here about 4, I think we've been married 5, so I've been here 5 years, but Amelia's been here about 8.
Right.
And I've come here, and I've never felt totally settled. I'm like, I don't feel like this is where God wants us forever.
Not the place.
Like a season. Not the place.
Cool, yeah. Well, that sounds like something's going on with that, yeah. So that's, before you told me any of that, that's what I was praying about, finding your roots and being at home. And sound like the Lord's working on that for sure.
Got to clean the place up a bit now.
There you go. That's what, We have other friends who are doing that too, you know, that are trying to sell. And it's a good time to sell in America. It's a good time to sell. A really good time to sell.
Yeah, it's like here, actually.
Oh, same thing there in Australia, too?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Oh, great. but not a great time to buy it. So, but at least you get more for your house. You're kind of like making an even trade, really, having to pay more for a new house, but you're getting more for your house. So it's kind of like it feels good on one side, on the other side it doesn't. Like I'm getting more money for my house, but oh yeah, I'm paying more for a new one. Oh well.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Really, really cool. Really great. Yeah, Lord, speaking about that, finding your roots and helping her find her roots. And you guys find your roots, obviously. So, yeah, it sounds like something's moving toward that for sure. I would have never, you know, I would have known that exactly what that meant by finding your roots, getting your roots settled in. But that makes sense with what you're desiring to do. So congratulations. That sounds like that's going to work out.
Yeah, I think Maya, look, I call her Maya, Amelia. She got a new job, which she's never done. Like, she's a physiotherapist. I don't know what you guys call them. Anyway, works with people's bodies and muscles and women's health and that sort of stuff at the hospital. So she's actually got a manager's role in a little town where we're thinking about moving to, which is actually near where I grew up.
Oh, really? That's your root?
Yeah, so we don't know where... That is my roots. Maybe it's got something to do with that.
I don't know. Sounds like it might. I don't know. Very interesting, that's for sure.
She's been after a manager's job for quite a while. She's always been a worker. Now she'll take on another level of actually managing people in her same work, but in a different town.
Wow.
So that's all
cool.
New.
Interesting.
Exciting for her.
They need to pay her more for that. Make sure they give her a big raise.
Yeah.
And we need more money.
Yeah. How's your wife?
I'm sorry, say it again.
How's your wife?
Oh, doing really good. Just at it. Just regular. She's doing a Bible study tonight. She's going through doing some end time prophecy thing with Urban Baxter. She's been taking classes with them on Tuesdays. So she's doing that tonight. She's doing good, though. She's just growing and learning and having a good time.
Yeah, nice. Yep. Very good. Are you guys looking at a new building? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, a new building. Looking at a new studio, right? We have the building we want. It's nice. It's really nice. And it's pretty new, built in 2016, hasn't hardly been used. So we like that. But, you know, yeah, it's really nice. It's, so we're believing God for that. And people are giving toward that a little bit, or a lot, really, whatever, however you say it. But, so it's really cool. Hoping that'll happen any time now. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Have you got a date I can pray for you?
You got a what?
Have you got a date that you want to move in?
Oh, yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, we no, I don't have a date. Like soon. We don't really own the building. We're getting money together to open up so we can.
Yeah, okay.
But the building's sitting there, and it's not being sold because of different reasons. But it's like this pretty new building. It's just perfect for a studio. Perfect for a studio. It's right in the freeways are all around it. The big freeways are all around it. It's good and what happened is that somebody had robbed it's like 8,000 square feet, had four or five air conditioning units outside. They were all got robbed. somebody broke into it and stole a few little things on the inside. Nothing big, didn't tear the place up or anything. It's, you know, still very, very, very nice. But because of that, the bank won't give loans to anybody on it, so it's hard to sell. So we're trying to come up with the money, and we think that it's a thing been set up for us, you know, so that nobody else will get it. Because right now properties are selling really quick. But that's not because nobody can get a loan on it because it's, you know, unless you get it with the people, the bank that has it, they're going to charge you, you know, they're going to, you know, it's not a good deal really.
Yeah.
So we're wanting to get the money and, yeah, do that. So, yep, I'm pretty excited about it. We'll see what goes on here. It's pretty interesting, to say the least. But it's really, really nice. I mean, really nice.
That's good.
It's too nice for me, but not for God, I guess.
No.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, so that's what's happening. And, we're just believing God. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all works out.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally I listen on Blog Talk.
Uh-huh.
I get on Blog Talk and listen to your program.
You say there's I didn't hear you say there's somebody you know listens to our program, you say?
Oh, no, I'm talking about myself.
Oh, yourself, oh, okay. You say you've been listening? Yeah. I can't hardly hear you. I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know if you're not.
Yeah, I've been listening. Occasionally I listen.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
Yeah. It's just
awesome.
It's in the middle of the day for me, so I'm normally busy doing something.
Yeah. You need to stop that. You need to stop that. That's not important. PGN is more important than that. Stop being busy. Man, you gotta get in the spirit, bro. What are you thinking?
I'll tell my wife. I'll tell Amelia and see what she said.
Yeah, and then she'll be calling in and chewing me out. That's for sure. What are you telling my husband? I don't know. I can't remember what it was I told him. Yeah.
Good day.
And then we'll prophesy over her, and then she'll be calling him more than you. She'll be calling us from work, saying, "Can you prophesy over this lady? I'm massaging her muscles. She needs some help." I go, "Yeah." Yep.
Very good, Randy. I'll keep going. I'll go and got to go and clean the shed to make room so we can put stuff in the shed. Well,
yeah,
garage,
we're
getting ready. Whatever you guys call them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, have fun. I know it's in the afternoon over there, so you need to get busy so I won't get in trouble.
Thanks for the cat.
Hey, man. Hey, good talking to you, brother. Don't wait so long to call back. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go here to – I don't have a caller with her hand up right now. Let's see. I think this is Cheryl doesn't have her hand up. We'll talk to her anyway. All right, Cheryl, is that you?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was talking
okay.
to Gary. Hadn't heard from Gary in a while. That was awesome. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I got a – Ruby's here with me tonight, and I kind of wanted you to prophesy.
Okay.
It was like, to her, she was staying with Leslie for a while.
Uh-huh.
And she's been with me for a while, and so.
Who is it?
Ruby, do you remember?
Ruby, the name sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see if I can, is that okay
All right.
with you?
Do you mind? Oh, absolutely. Of course it is.
Okay.
No, I never mind.
Okay. Hold on just a second.
Okay,
yes. Here. Speak to Randy.
Hey,
Ruby.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Ruby. Good. Good to talk to you. All right, let's pray for you, Ruby. I'm going to mute you just for a second just so I can so I don't have any background noise. Let's pray for you, Ruby. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, getting Cheryl to get you on and have you with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for I see, you know, like I see there's doors set before you that God wants to open, but they're locked. And Lord is wanting to give you the keys to unlock them. And so sometimes the Lord, you know, the Lord opens up doors, but sometimes but there's something like the door is locked. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. It's like I see the locks, like God giving you the key, the wisdom, the answer, or something to unlock the door. There's a lock on it, like a padlock or something. You have to like a padlock. And I see you like with the key, you know, or the code or whatever, and unlocking the thing. And the door opening up. So whatever this door is, I see it's been locked to you, and God is wanting you to know that He's going to give you the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, to unlock it. To you know, sometimes doors are locked for safety. Sometimes doors are locked because we went through a rough time and we had to feel safe. We had to feel protected. We had to feel like, you know, we can't let people get in. We got to keep people out. And now it's like I see God, like the danger zone be going away, and you can unlock the door now, take the lock off of it so you don't have to unnecessarily protect yourself because the danger zone is gone. It's been removed. It's somehow or another it's like you can feel safe again, like somebody's not going to break in and, you know, try to break into your door because, you know, and so I see that going on. And like I said, the Lord giving you wisdom and the keys to maybe the fear realm. Sometimes we have fear when things go wrong, when things go bad, when things, you know, we all have different things that go in our life, different levels of negative things go on. And we feel like we're in danger. We feel like we're not secure. So we lock up things, you know, to make sure that, you know, people can't break through until we feel safe. And so I see God, you know, giving you the keys to safety, giving you the keys of understanding of how to feel like you're in the peaceful waters and the green grass of safety. And that's about to come to pass for you. And you're about to see that happen. And it's going to be because God's giving you the keys. Maybe it's of forgiveness. Maybe it's of no fear. I don't know what it is because we all have different things that we deal with. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for my sister, God, for Ruby. And giving her a whole new lease on life, on doors, on feeling safe and feeling protected and feeling like she can function at the level that she used to, without fear, without feeling, you know, like somebody's going to, you know, like sometimes people go through stuff and people get aggressive and that's why they have these things where you get an attorney and have it where they can't get within 100 feet of your house because they, you know, they get crazy, they get weird, they get ugly, they get mean and ugly, you know, whatever. And God has to do things until the thing settles down. And so I see that happening. We got things, see things settling down and you being able to go in and out as you please, without feeling threatened or fearful or like, you know, or things going to fall apart or, you know, am I going to fall apart? What's going to go on? And God making you feel secure. The whole thing about feeling secure and safe, where when you feel like you're in a peaceful, safe place, then you can relax and be yourself again, so to speak, and at a new level, at a higher level. All right, Ruby, I don't know what's going on with all that, but maybe it's in the future, maybe in the past. I'm not sure. What's going on? How are you, Ruby?
I'm good. A little startled about Cuba, but I'm good. You know.
You startled by what now?
Cuba. What's going on Cuba? In Cuba right now? Yeah.
What's going on in Cuba right now?
Well, they got they're yanking out teenage boys from their homes and forcing them to join the army to fight their own people. So they're having a civil war right now.
A civil war, yeah. Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. Yeah. So that's what you're talking about. Yeah. That's interesting, to say the least.
Yes. Been praying about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the world gets crazy. Sometimes we have to, you know, like you said with Cuba, and sometimes things get fearful and scary, and you know, makes things hard for people to function. And so we need that. We need to have peace within ourselves for sure. That's for sure. But it's sure nice to have peace in the world too. Yeah. So what? Anything we can pray with you about? What's up tonight?
I guess I'll pray for people in my life to have more patience with me. And I just got a job, so I guess to pray for that to go well. You know, there's a lot of new opportunities in my life right now. It just all has to fall in line with with my authority, with my elders, with my superiors.
Right.
I'll have to fall in line, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, I'm trying to be respectful and reverent to God. And, you know, I feel a lot of the things that I read in the Bible. You know, I feel things in a different way than most people do. I don't know how most people do, but I feel them physically. When I read the Bible, I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my veins. So I just don't really mess around with things that I'm not sure of, because I am very fearful of God. And, you know, I just hope everybody is realizing how real His word is. So that's just all I'm on.
Right. Yeah, and I kept seeing, like, the lock on the door thing. I don't know whether how that has to deal with you or what's going on with you, whether, you know, you're feeling like you can, you feel safe. You know, like, sometimes there's been different times in my life where, because of my whatever I was going through, like, I was extra sensitive to things, like what you're talking about, because I'm the same way. I can be very, very sensitive to things. So sometimes I would feel unsafe, you know, like, I should stay in and pray and say, you know, and it didn't feel real pure and strong. And then I would come out of that. And I don't know what changed exactly, but all of a sudden I felt strong where I could go back out and, you know, live life and take authority and, you know, and be strong again. And so I don't know how that has to fit you and what you're doing through, but I just feel like you're about to have a new lease on life, and that God's opening up the door for you. The doors are being unlocked. And I saw those doors being unlocked. Maybe that has something to do with your job. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but I see, and they're being unlocked because of you, because you're using the keys of wisdom. You're using the keys of, you know, asking in prayer and seeking and looking, and God's answering you, and He's opening up doors for you. But I saw doors opening up for you, and the locks being taken off doors that have been locked to you.
I feel like when I'm, the only thing that I'm, well, most of the times I trust God, so it's very hard for me to feel unsafe. I'm very confident and very strong. The only time I feel unsafe is when I am, when I'm reading or I'm in the spiritual realm, and I feel things that, you know, are just, that I should say, and then I don't want to say them because I don't want to hurt anyone. I just pray that God gives me the understanding to, and the wisdom to relay the message properly, so that I can, you know, I can help the person instead of harm them, because the Bible is nothing to play with, and it's just, you know, I, the way I was raised, I'm a pastor's daughter, and my dad has a master's in theology, so I know that this is really powerful. Everything we're saying is powerful. God is very real. And the Bible is a double-edged sword. So whatever you're saying to someone else, it is going to affect you as well. So I just pray that, you know, whenever God comes out of my mouth, whenever His word comes out of my mouth, that is exactly to be saying to someone.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Awesome. Okay. Anything else we can pray with you about? Anything else going on? You got your job going on?
Just happiness, patience, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him he's right on about his word, if you want to tell him the whole story. We can't tell you the whole story, but you're right on, Randy.
Okay.
God will reveal himself in time. Exactly.
That's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to share anything. I mean, I don't really ask people. Cheryl knows I don't really ask, you know, I don't ask a lot of questions. That's why the reason I don't ask a lot of questions, because I don't want people to feel like they have to say something that they can't reveal or show. It's just no problem at all. But thanks for letting me know. Right on. Yeah.
We were reading Habakkuk. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right.
Habakkuk.
2:2. Well, basically, uh-huh. I read the whole chapter, and it says that the vision will come in time, or it will not tarry, and
will
be with no lies. And so I was reading that, and I was diving into that, and I felt it in my body. I felt it everywhere. I was just like, God, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to talk, or am I supposed to be quiet? And so,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying. I know you know what I'm talking about. You feel God, and you know what it means. And that's just... That is an even bigger battle than anything that we face on earth. So if you can guide me through that or pray for that, for whatever God has for me that is making me feel this, then, you know, I pray that he reveals to me what he wants with my life, you know?
Right. I think maybe the fear that we all feel is like, if I don't do everything perfect, that God's somehow going to be displeased with me. I think that that's a fear. I think that's fear. I think I've dealt with that many times as a prophet.
You got
a
fear.
Yeah, I think sometimes that fear can be the wrong kind of fear. I do think there's a reverential fear and awe of God, but at the same time,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we think that reverential fear and awe of God, we think it's God, when many times it's a fear that we have that if we don't say everything perfectly, God's going to sound smart. So how are we going to learn if we don't learn how to step out? And when we make a mistake, the Lord goes, you made a mistake. He doesn't go, okay, that's it for you, you slime bag. I told you not to say like it. You said you didn't say exactly what I said. You know, that's not what God does. That's not the way God is. He's patient. He's kind. He teaches us. He knows that we're – now, if you think you got it right, if you think you know it all and you got it all together, he might rebuke you for that. But to knowing that you're learning, that you're growing – if you have a fear to step out and try to learn, to step out and learn, and start learning how to step out and learn, if you got a fear of that, which most people do, we all have, I've had it before, God, if I don't say it exactly right, you're going to like smite me with something, I don't know what it would be, just whatever, oh God, you know, and the Lord says, no, I'm not going to smite you with anything. Why don't you step out and learn, step out of the boat, you step out of the boat like Peter did, you know, you start sinking, Jesus didn't let Peter sink to the bottom of the sea, and go, you idiot, I told you not to, you know, what did you take your eyes off me for, you dummy, you're so stupid. No, he didn't do that. He grabbed him by the hand before he sunk too much and took him back to the boat. Why? Because he knows we're learning, we're growing, we're going to step out on the water, and we're not going to do it perfectly. We're going to take our eyes off of him, and he's not going to slam dunk us because we do it. And that's what a lot of preachers have preached for years, especially when it comes to the prophetic realm and prophesying things. You know, God, as long as we stay humble and know that we can, that we're learning and we're growing, and we don't think we got it all together, and I know this, and this is that, and by golly, if I'm a prophet, you know, this is going to happen, it don't happen, you know, the whole world's wrong. And so we have to go through that whole thing.
I don't even want the chance. Yeah, I don't want the chance. That's what I'm so afraid of, is I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want the chance to disappoint. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And it is fear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's fear. Because, you know, you're not going to do everything perfect. You're going to step out of the boat, and you're going to freak out. You're going to see the storm coming. You're going to feel the condemnation coming on you because, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? God's going to get me for this if I don't do it right. That fear definitely, Ruby, is not God, because I've dealt with it myself, and I know, and I had to conquer it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So most people never learn to step out into the supernatural because they're afraid if they mess up one thing that they're a false prophet or that they're evil. The only reason you're a false prophet is when you demand that you're right after you find out you haven't been right and you just keep on doing it the wrong way no matter what. That's when you're a false prophet. You're not a false prophet because you're learning and growing. And you might hurt somebody's feelings here and there. How many preachers do you think have hurt people's feelings and God would find it, you know, in the wrong way, and God would have to correct them. And I've seen a lot of people grow and learn and be perfected and quit being so mean because they were mean because their preacher before them was mean. So they were being mean like them, thinking it was godly. And God goes, no, I don't want you to talk like that. And they go, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was being mean. The Lord says, yeah, you're being mean. You're presenting me as being mean. I'm not mean. You know, I'm a loving, kind God who's trying to teach people. Now, if you already got your mind made up and you're a Pharisee and you think you know everything, then I'm probably gonna rebuke you pretty good and call you a full of dead man's bones and your father's the devil. You know, but if you're learning and growing and you have any sense about you that you could be wrong about something or that you need to learn, God is just gonna say, man, you're my baby doll. I'm gonna teach you and we're gonna grow together. You make a mistake, I'm not gonna slap you down and call you some, you know, pig-headed, you know, devil worshiper because you mess up. No, he's going to say, okay, good job, Ruby. You did pretty good on that, but, you know, we could correct this a little bit, learn how to flow and do here, learn how to listen over here, learn how to, you know, and he's teaching us that if we don't ever let him step out where he can teach us, the only way he's going to teach us is when we step out and make mistakes. Just like when you go to school, you get up there on the board and the teacher says, okay, what's 2 plus 2? And you go, 2 plus 2 is 7. Well, those twos look like sevens to me, so I think it's 7. No, it's not 7. 2 plus 2. What's 2 plus 2? It's 4. You got it wrong. You know what? You were close, though. You know what? Just think about it. Okay, we're going to teach you how to go. 2 plus 2 is 4. And you go, and the student goes, oh, yeah, I did miss that. Okay, I thank you, teacher. Okay, I got it. 2 plus 2, 2 and 2 is 4. That's how a child learns. You don't condemn them, slap them down, knock them in the head because they did something wrong. So if we don't give people a chance to make mistakes, how are they ever going to learn?
Right. Do you believe that if you know, that it's possible that God can take your life if you don't walk right with him, if you say something out of line, because he can take a life? And I know that. And I've seen it, and that's why I'm afraid to step out and say, I have visions. Hey, this is what God's telling me about you, because it's very hard for me. It's not 2 plus 2 and 4 plus 4 for me. It's more so be careful, or it's possible that there are consequences to your actions. Like life, if life was math, I'd be really good at math.
Right. Are you teachable, Ruby? That's what I want to ask you. Are you teachable?
Am I teachable?
Question.
Yes.
Am I teachable?
Are you going to learn from?
I can learn from people, but
okay.
I mean,
you
have
can learn.
To talk to me
but
on
God,
my level.
But can God?
You can't
can God
talk down
you?
On me.
If you make a mistake, yeah, exactly. I got you. But can mm-hmm. God teach you? Can the Holy Spirit teach you? Of course he can, right? I mean, I think he can. I think you can learn. So the only time God's going to kill somebody is when they're deliberately and willfully, you know, continuously doing the wrong thing continuously. Then God's going to deal with you if you're hurting and wounding people on purpose and you keep doing it thinking you're right and you're so blinded and all you're doing is more damage than doing good, then God might deal with you. But he doesn't deal with you because you make a couple of mistakes. He's not going to kill you for saying a couple of wrong things to some people, as long as you're teachable. So he'll take your wrong, he'll take the half that you did right, the half you did wrong. He'll say, you know, you did half right. That's amazing. You used to not do much of anything right. Now you did half right. That's, wow, girl, you are really doing great. Now let's get this other half going on, and you're going to be amazing. But he's not going to be able to do that with you if you're not teachable. Well, I think you're teachable. You sound teachable to me.
Thank you. I feel teachable.
Okay.
I feel teachable. It's just, you know, when I feel the spirit, I feel it in my body. I know a lot of people feel it in their body, but I'm not used to that, like feeling the Holy Spirit and all that. I'm not used to it. Like, I'm used to singing and feeling the Holy Spirit while praising or talking to people and helping others and feeling the spirit that way. But feeling it during reading the Bible and like, prophetic words or like Bible verses coming together to tell me something is just all really like new to me because I just started going to church. And so when I was younger, I received visions. And so it sometimes makes me afraid to see visions or to start feeling things. But I understand that what you're saying, to try to trust God and He will lead me. And I will try my best.
Yeah. He's not going to smite you. He's not going to smite you for making a mistake. He smites you when you deliberately and every time you see God smiting His people, it's when they deliberately and willfully for years resisted Him. Then He puts them in. Then He took them to Babylon. Then He took His people to Babylon. Then he does pour His wrath out on His people if they. But that has to be a continual, deliberate and willful disobedience after the prophets and everybody said, don't go that way. And they just keep saying, we're going to go that way anyway. That's the only time God really does like that. I mean, he gives us time to learn and grow. And so if you're teachable, like I think you are, then you're going to learn, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to grow. I mean, it's like when you go to your job, you're going to make mistakes, right? Are you going to go on the job and do everything perfect? Well, if you don't, if the guy who's teaching you about your job jumps down your throat and treats you like you're a slime bag, you know, you're some dumb, you know, broad. You can't learn anything.
Watch out.
Not good. Exactly.
Watch out now.
Watch out. So what I'm saying to you is if they're a good boss, like God is a really good boss, He's not going to, when you get on the job and you make a mistake, He's not going to say, okay, I'm going to kill you now. Sorry, we'll get somebody else to take your place. I'm going to kill you. Take you out back. I'm going to kill you because you're worthless. That's not the way God is. Not even close to it. But that's the image that some people have of God for a season until God helps them learn. So you're going to learn on the job just like doing things that with God. You're going to make mistakes. As long as you're teachable, you think God's going to kill you for being teachable? I don't think so.
Okay. Then I know what I can pray for. I know what you can pray for me for now.
Okay.
If you can pray that I'll be teachable to be teachable and to teach others.
Hey, can you pray that for me too?
So that I can teach it. Of course I can.
Thank you.
I'm so glad. I hope that we can pray so that we can be teachable, so that we can teach others, so that we can help others to also be teachable.
Right.
Amen.
And I want to do the same thing. So I'll pray for you, and you can pray for me. Dear Jesus, thank you for precious Ruby. How she loves you, God, how she wants to serve you. She doesn't want to make any mistakes. That only tells me one thing, that she wants to do it right because she loves you. She reverences you. She respects you. And I love that about her already. And I thank you for that about her, Jesus, that she's precious to you, that you're going to teach. She's going to make mistakes, and you're going to lovingly, as a gentle, kind father, say, honey, you did that mostly right. We're going to correct some things right over here, baby doll. You are so sweet. Look at this. I know you're smart. You're a good girl. You're going to do things right. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to show you. And you're going to be the best at what you do. I'm going to train you because you're teachable. You're going to be the more teachable you are, the more the best you're going to be at something. So I thank you, Jesus, for making Ruby the best. Because not because she's perfect or has all this great talent. She does. She has great talent. But it's because she's teachable. And a teachable person learns and grows and moves forward and doesn't keep making the same old mistakes over and over again. She grows and learns and moves forward. And I thank you, God, you're going to use Ruby as an example of how a person learns and grows and overcomes things and moves forward in life day by day. Give us this day our daily bread or our daily correction or our daily gentle, kind teachings of how we do life. Thank you, Jesus, for that with Ruby. Amen. So she can teach other people,
Amen.
God. But I know she
Thank
wants to
you.
Help people, love people. Amen. You're so
Hallelujah.
Welcome, girl. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Thank you for coming on and taking a risk of talking to somebody you don't even know. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Same to you.
She's a tough one.
Cool, man. Do what?
What?
You say she's a tough one or I'm a tough one? Or both of us?
She's a tough one, and you're a tough one to handle her.
That is funny. Well, I'm not the only one. You're pretty tough yourself, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hey, I loved it. I loved it, Cheryl, when I started saying about going to the boss, and the boss started saying, you dumb broad. She went, watch it. That was so funny.
But you were right on with the doors. I mean, you couldn't have been any more accurate. Right when I start wondering, I was like, he could be no more accurate than what he's saying. He'll prophesy to both of us about feeling safe and different things. So, yeah, I just want to confirm that. Whoa.
Well, I don't know anything, y'all. You know that. I know nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
The grace of God. Jesus is loving his people and loves to talk to them. And he's just looking for people that will let him talk to them. That's all. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And even down into Habakkuk, we were reading, the first thing Habakkuk says is he talks about the vision, and he says, I'm gonna think about what I will say when the Lord corrects me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so we have to be open, you know, being teachable is to be open for correction. That's really hard when, you know the deal, when we've been corrected and punished from someone mean, it's just really hard to take after that.
It is.
And that keeps you from being teachable. That even correction just sounds like, oh, God, rejection. So...
Yeah, and condemnation. That's even worse.
Yeah. 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 Well, and I need wisdom, so you can pray for me or whatever you want to do, because I need to know what I should do.
Yeah. All right. Yes, Lord, we thank you for all the burdens that you're taking off of Cheryl, of things that other people thought she should do or shouldn't do, all the things that the pressure that people have put on her to perform. And if you don't perform this particular way, then you're just not good enough and you don't have it right, and blah, blah, blah. Just like with David, when I talked earlier with somebody about David, where they tried to put their armor on David. You know, Saul said, you can't fight Goliath, you know, he'll whip you up, man. If you don't go after, you got to put my armor on. So he and then David felt, you know, like, well, I'm not really a warrior then if I'm not got your armor on. And he went through all these things. He said, no, he said, I'm not really, that's not really for me. That's not really. So David had to deal with doing things the way that he knew God wanted him to deal with it, the only way he knew how, the only way he felt confident. So sometimes we take on other people's ways of doing things, and we mess it up, and we get defeated, and we think, well, there I am. I knew it. I wasn't very good at this. This is not something I'm really good at. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's because we put on Saul's armor, you know, thinking that it's, you know, they know better than we do, so they said put it on. So he's like, he's the king, so I got to put it on. You know, I'm just a little shepherd boy. And the Lord says, no, I'm raising up a people. I'm going to mute you because I'm background noise. So I'm anointing a people. I'm anointing Cheryl to be like David, to where she fights and does and learns and grow and wins her battles with the way she knows how to do it, not the way Randy or Pastor so-and-so or Prophet so-and-so, whoever else. No, it's the way God has anointed Cheryl, and later on she may learn how to use the sword, you know, not that you don't know how to use a sword, but you do, but just as an example of what God's saying, is that later on you may learn how to do things that particular way. David did. He did finally have on armor and quit using the slingshot, but that's where he was. So God wants to use you, Cheryl, to to accept people where they are, that if this the way they fight is the way they fight, then that's the way they fight. Eventually, they're going to learn how to fight different ways. They're going to learn how to do things, you know, differently. But right now, this is the way it is. So accepting them where they are, just like you, you know, should have been accepted where you were and where you were at and who you are, who you were, and the level of warfare. Who cares how you do it? Whether you do it the way I've learned how to do it, which God taught me, or you learn how the way God taught you to do it in the shepherd's field, taking care of those few sheep, as they made fun of it. You know, who cares? It's nobody won the battle but David. And David won the battle because he, you know, did it the way he knew how to do it. And so I thank you, Lord, for all the times, all the pressure, all the things that have been put on Cheryl, the people that have put, you can put on my arm or do it my way, do it this way. And she just couldn't quite get it because, you know what, that wasn't where you were at. That wasn't what God wanted for you at the time. He wanted you to fight the battles the way you knew to fight them. And so I thank you, Jesus, for releasing her from all the pressure of what people say, what people think, in Jesus' name, and washing her and cleansing her of that and bringing her to that new place, God, where she goes, you know what, I've taken down the lion and the bear, and this is how I do it for now. So this is the way I'm going to do it. I can't do something I'm not trained to do or don't know to do. Your way's not better than my way. What's the real deal? Winning or looking like we know what we're doing? Is it better to look like we know what we're doing, or is it better to win? And David went out and he won, just like you won with the lion and the bear. So I thank you, Jesus. I don't know what that has. That has nothing to do with probably with what you're talking about. I don't know, but I thank you, Jesus, for raising up a people that we can not be like Saul and try to put our ways, the way we know things, and the way we know things may be God. It may be God. But being able to recognize and go, that person has a slingshot and a rock. It doesn't look like they're going to win, but they said they've been winning, so I believe them. And so Saul eventually did believe David, or he wouldn't have let him go out and challenge Goliath. Because whoever won that was going to be the one, you know, they were going to be able to take over Israel if David lost. So that was a big decision. So I thank you, Lord, for people finding trust in the way Cheryl does things, the way you're calling her to do them, and she will have confidence in the way that she does them, God, and be able to resist people and go, yeah, your way's great, man, but it's just not the way God's given me. So thank you, Jesus, for opening that up for her and washing her, releasing her from all the condemnation, all the shame, all the things that people try to put on her about that, where she can stand up, you know, and know that people recognize, hey, when she goes out there with that sling and that rock, man, I mean, that devil's going down. That Goliath, he's going down. And, yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that. And I don't know if that's doing anything, but the decision you're making, I don't know what decision you're making, but I thank you, Lord, to love the sheep and to, you know, like Jesus, like I talked about earlier tonight about part of my message tonight in the Revelation teaching was about how Jesus, the anointing for being a friend to sinners or being a friend to people who everybody else throws them out or says, you know, don't bring them here because they're so messed up. They got issues or they got problems or they're not perfect or they're not, they got, I don't, but Jesus anointing Cheryl with that anointing of friendship to be a friend to those, not only to sinners, but the people who are just come out of sin, who are growing, who are learning, who don't know a thing about swords and weapons and armor like the high trained military does. They're just trying to make it from day to day. That you give her that friendship anointing that's in her, God, where she can have an anointing to be friends with people, to break down the wall of you got to do it my way, you can't do it this way, then you're out. No, we give them a chance to grow and learn. We become their friends. Grow and learn and come forth. And we thank you, Jesus, for growing that little by little. It doesn't have to be done overnight, but little by little you're doing it, God. And as that anointing of friendship grows in her that's already there, then that will add, that will cause an adding too that will happen in her life in Jesus' name, in her ministry and calling. Amen. So I don't know what you want to pray about with your decisions on, but what's that?
That's amazing. That's amazing. I just wrote the other day, be your authentic you. And I just had this, when my brother passed, it was just like, if he could have only just been himself around us, you know, if he,
yeah.
It just was just another level of just
not warfare, but just the fight to be who you really are, and how you always taught us that you're being true to who you are is being your pure self. And I don't think I said that the way you say it right, but
no, you got it. Yeah.
There's such freedom in that. And then, you know, you wake up the next day and you go, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be free. And then you feel all of this, I'm supposed to do this. I've been taught this. And then, you know, you get into a hard place and you feel like you don't want to make, like Ruby said, you don't want to make a mistake. And it's not that I feel like God's going to strike me, but I just start getting all this pressure. I've got pressure.
Right.
So there's so much pressure. I started looking for Dad's will yesterday because we've got a deal. We got to change his will again because of the executors and this and that. And I couldn't find that will anywhere. You know, just crazy stuff like that. And then Ruby's back today, and there's a decision being made about doors. I mean, you could not be any. I'm so glad that you put me on because I still feel the. I talk about it. I feel the pressure, but I know God is going to relieve that pressure from me because you're saying I don't have to wear Saul's armor. I can do this. I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trained. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I really want to learn. There's so much that's come off of me to have expectations of people to be where I am. We can't. That's religion. Oh, my gosh, Randy. That is so religious. To expect a young person in the Lord to be, you know, squared away. And
yeah,
we don't realize we do that to people, but, oh, my gosh, I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
I've done it, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to her. I want to be able to turn the other cheek. I want to be able to be a big girl and be grown up and be a mother or father in the faith. I've seen so much, you know, I want to do what's right. So that's the pressure right there, just to do.
Right. Sure.
That's right. So you just hit it all over the board. You hit it.
That's how a real prophet goes amen these days. That's how a real prophet goes amen. He goes, yeehaw. That's amen. Amen, brother. Amen, beloved brethren. Yeehaw.
Amen.
Yeah, anyway. Crazy. All right. Awesome. So we'll be praying for you guys. So how are you doing with your brother? You working through that pretty good?
Haven't had a chance to work
through
it.
Sometimes that's good.
I'm good. I'm good.
I'm the same way. I'm kind of slow about somebody will die, and I'll just like, you know, 3 months later I go, oh, yeah, they're dead now. I kind of like go,
yeah.
You know, if I go to the funeral, I may even do the funeral. You know, I'm kind of slow at catching things sometimes like that. So people say, how you doing? I'm going like, about what? You know, the funeral. Oh, yeah, that. Let's see. Yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good. I really thought about it much.
Well, the thing about it is you've learned, this is another thing you taught. You got to learn how to file that away. In a way, I have to put stuff on the back burner till I can deal with it because you can't fall apart when you're a caretaker. You can't fall apart when you're having to take care. And you think about Daddy's lost two, a daughter and a son within a year, within 6 months to it. Well, I don't know, from October to whatever this is, July.
That's his son. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Plus my sister passed in October, but he's kind of coming in and out of, you know, like sometimes he forgets.
Yeah.
So that's
hey, I'll be
really
glad. I'll be glad when I can forget. Sometimes I try to forget and I can't.
Amen.
Let's see. Let me try to forget that. I can't. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, it's good talking to you. I'm so thankful for this. I'm still kind of knotted up on the inside, but I'm just going to try to soak and listen to that over and over again. So, and
cool.
I know it has to do with that armor thing. I know that.
Wow.
Whoa. And some other people said they wanted to ordain me, and I'm like, I thought I was ordained. I'm just licensed. So I'm already ordained.
Okay.
I'm like,
yeah, license is cool. When I went to Christ for the Nations, I'd been ordained for many years since the 80s, but I wanted to get, so they asked me, said, do you want to get licensed ordained? I said, well, I'm already ordained. They go, oh, you are? Well, then we'll just ordain you again. I'm going, okay, thank you. I guess because I was already ordained. I didn't go to all the schools and knowledge. I didn't went there for 4 years, but I had friends on the inside who knew I was a prophet, I guess you'd say. I hate to say it like that. They on the inside that were friends with the people at Christ in the Nation. So they told him, yeah, he's a real prophet. And then they found out that, as I prophesied and ministered to them, they found out, okay, it really is real. So I think because of that, it gave me favor, plus already being ordained. So I went from, they ordained me at Christ the Nations. I was grateful that they did. The license is cool, but ordaining is, yes, a completely different thing.
I don't even know the difference, honestly. But anyway, so that's another thing about what do you do. And then Ruby's like told me, you better be careful. She's got that bless her heart. So, anyway, thank you again.
All right. You're so welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ruby. Enjoyed it with you guys. Thank you very much. And we love praying for people. It's our favorite thing to do. So, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. May your knots be unknotted and all that. And mine too, and everybody else has them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think. All right. Let's go to 760-574. Who may I talk to you, Rick, please?
Hello, this is Jessica from California.
Hey, Jessica. All right.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. Actually, having a good night tonight, I think. And just
I love praying
for people. So it's my favorite thing to do. Let's pray for you, Jessica. And we'll
hold on.
And I'll mute you for. Oh, okay. Hang on a sec.
I'm actually calling in with my boyfriend Doug, and I would like to get prayer for him specifically tonight.
Well, hello.
Okay.
How are you tonight?
He said Doug. Is it Doug? You say?
Doug.
Hey, that's correct.
Yeah, Doug. Okay, I just make sure I get the name right. D O U G. Yeah. All right, let's pray for Doug, and we'd love to do that. So I'm going to mute you just for a moment, and that way I won't have any background noise. So thank you, Lord, for Doug tonight, God. We thank you, God, for Doug. We thank you for all the things that have been look at the word scrambled. Kind of know what it means, but let's look at it and make sure that we don't miss out on some of it, the things that are all scrambled up. Scrambled. All right. Scrambled means to make one's ways quickly or awkwardly up a steep slope or over rough ground by using one's hands as well as one's feet. And way quickly or awkwardly up a steep slope and over a rough ground by using one's hands as well as your feet. Okay. Like scrambling, so you're going, trying to go up a thing kind of quickly and awkwardly up a deep slope or over rough ground by using one's hands as well as one's feet. So I guess you're like, okay, scrambling. So I that's new to me. I never thought about scrambling like that. Scrambling also is order a fighter aircraft or its pilot to take off immediately is in an emergency or for action. That's what a scramble is for a pilot, I guess. So very interesting. All right, what does scrambling mean? Let's just look it up here, and then we'll kind of go from there. I think it's useless. If you guys know I'm Googling this, scrambled is to move with urgency or panic. Scrambled to his feet. He scrambled to his feet, being moved with urgency or panic. Scrambled to his feet. To move or climb hastily, especially on all fours. Okay, that's a better way of saying it. Scrambled over the rocks. Struggle eagerly or unceremoniously for possession of something. Scramble for front seats. Players scrambling for the ball. Yeah, okay, so that's a like way of scrambling for things. So there's different ways to scramble things. I don't know, I heard the word scramble just like that, you know. So I look it up just to make sure we hit everything. So I see you scrambling for things, like going after things, like the last example you read about the players, you know, scrambling after the ball, you know, like going after it, like, you know, that's my ball, you know, trying to win the ball game and get the ball so they can make a goal and scrambling after and going after it. It's like you're a real scrambler. It's like you go after things, struggling eagerly and ceremoniously for possession of something to scramble for it, like a, you know, ball player does for the ball. So I don't know if this is part of you or part of the way you do things or something that God's trying to, you know, anoint you to do correctly, to do right, to do for him, to move with urgency or panic, scramble to his feet, to move and climb up a steep cliff or whatever with on your hands and feet, struggling eagerly to, yeah. Okay, so I thank you, Jesus, for Doug tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for moving him to that place to where, yeah, there's a time to go after things. There's a time to scramble after things. And then there's a time to, you know, let God do your battles. Sometimes we go after things. The Bible says labor to enter into his rest. So you labor means you're scrambling, you're working to get it all done. And then you sit back and you learn how to rest and let God do his thing. So God's teaching you how to do what he wants you to do and go after it big and go after it fast. And then, you know, and then, you know, let God do what he's going to do. So you go after things really strong. And like God used to tell me, he said, I want you to do everything I tell you to do and then sit back and rest. So we scramble, we go after things, and then we sit back and we rest and we let God, then we watch God do what he wants to do. So God teaching you how to do that, Doug, and showing you how to do exactly what he said or the way he's saying it, learning how to do it and learning how to go after things and get them done. And then when you got them done, then let God finish it up. Let God open up the doors. Let God move. Let God do it. So it's not that we don't do anything, but we do our part, and then we let God finish it up. So God really teaching you how to do that, how to enter into that realm of laboring and then entering into that rest. And, yeah, and it's showing you how to activate your faith, showing you how to go after something, you know, the right way and the God way. And because sometimes when God has you go after something, you go after it with all your heart. You go after it with all your might. You go after it with everything you have within you and all you know to do, and then you let God, you know, do the rest. And that's the process that God taught me. You know, work hard, and then when you get your work done, and trust me to seal it, bring it together, cause everything to work together, cause everything to come together, and it will. So, all right, Doug, I'm not sure what all that means exactly, but sometimes I get it. But anyway, so what can we pray with you about, brother? How are you doing? What's up?
Oh, well, actually, in regards to everything you just said, it actually makes sense to me because that's something that's actually been moving very heavy in my life, as I've always believed in God. But lately, he's moved very heavily, and I gave up a lot of things and almost instant focus on him.
Okay.
So that particular aspect, you know, I've been just doing the best I can to not stray from his path and be able to pass on the word and live the way he wants me to live and help people.
I guess
that's the thing I'm asking for prayer is just to, you know, keep at it and not get distractions.
Right, to go after it. Like scrambling is, in one sense, it's like they talk about scrambling after the ball, like not giving up on letting the other team win, so to speak, going after it, you know, like, because I'll be honest with you, Doug, I didn't know what scramble meant. I had never gotten a word scramble for anybody before. I didn't know what that was, so I kind of knew what it meant, but I looked it up, and one of the examples I liked about it was going after the ball. Like, you know, you watch the basketball team, and I used to play basketball, and you scramble after that ball because whoever gets the ball is rolling around the floor, and whoever can get it, their team gets it, and they make it go. So it's like God saying, you know, keep scrambling after the ball. Don't give up. Keep going after it to win and to believe God to help you make it through it. And if you do all you know to do, he's going to finish it up for you. He's going to help you make it. But we do all we know to do, and then let God help us do it. You know, that's why a lot of people don't finish things, because they go after it and they scramble after it, and then they do everything they know to do, and then they don't. When God doesn't do it right away and start fixing everything right away, then we give up. You know, because we misunderstand the way He does things. He says, "Do all you know to do. Do what I say to do." And then let me finish it up. Let me keep you. Let me hold you. Let me show you. And so anyway, something like that.
No, well, I guess that was it for the day, but I just want to thank you for your time, and God bless you for what you do.
Hey, you're so welcome, Doug. And we're glad to do it. Glad to pray for you. All right. Anybody else around there want prayer or ministry or anything?
Well, you can. I would love prayer too. I wanted to make sure he got it first, though, just in case you had someone else to move on to next. But I'd love prayer, of course.
We're not in a hurry. We'll just minister to somebody. We just stop everything and focus on that one person or those two people or whatever until we're done. So let's pray for you, Jessica. I'm going to mute you there just for a second. We thank you, Lord, for Jessica. God, I thank you, Father, for the same thing. We plant and we water, but God gives the increase. So, you know, sometimes in my life I plant, water, and then try to make it come to pass, you know, trying to make it, you know, happen, try to bring the change that needed to bring. And, you know, the true change that God does through His word, we plant information from God, we water, we love, we bless, water that seed, and then we sit back and we let God bring the increase. And that's probably still the most difficult thing for me to do and learn, is to let God, to plant water and then let Him bring it to pass. You know, as a prophet, you deal in the realm of things coming to pass. So it's important to, you know, do the right thing, say the right thing, because that's the thing that's going to come to pass, right? So in that sense, but many times when I'm dealing with people, when I'm dealing with situations that I have no control over, right, because God doesn't control us, how much more do we think we can control people? Sometimes we think we can. If we just try hard enough, we're going to make them change. We try hard enough to make my family change, or make my person change, or make somebody change. You know, sometimes people are just not ready to change. We have to plant water and then sit back and learn how to let God's word work in that person's life without trying to make it happen, trying to make it happen. That, I tell you, girl, it's been one of the most difficult things for me to learn, because I'm a get it done. I like to work it. I like to, you know, let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. And so God really had to deal with me about that and protect me and keep me from messing up His work by trying to make things happen, trying to make a person change. Like, you know, we can make them, but we can sure, you know, try to corner them and, you know, make them feel like they. So all those things, you know, and so it takes time to learn how to let God do it. And we start doing it every area of our life. We don't wear ourselves out so much. We give things over to God more. You know, I don't have as much, I don't have the anxiety that I used to have about getting down because things aren't happening, things aren't changing. Lord, you just plant the seed, water it, make sure you water it, maybe throw a little fertilizer on it once in a while. And it's going to come forth, Randy. Just let it come forth. It's like we plant a flower out in the front yard,
you know, or tree on the front yard, and it's 3 foot high because it's, you just bought it. All you got to do, your job is to, you planted it, you water it, and then God's the process of growing. It's just going to happen, but it's not going to grow up 10 foot overnight, you know, automatically. Yeah. So that's something that we're learning, the body of Christ is learning. And that's why Paul taught that. He said, one plants, the other one waters, but God gives the increase. So I see God bringing increase to you. I see you learning that. I see you learning how to flow in that, work in that. I see you not wearing yourself out with trying to, why isn't this happening? Why is this working out? And sit back and relaxing, knowing that that's God's job. I do my job. I plant and water, and then I watch God do his job. Watch him give the increase. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for giving her rest, giving her peace, giving her understanding of how things work, God. And we can't get over there and grunt and groan and get that tree to bear forth fruit. Come on, tree, bear some apples in Jesus' name. Come on. Yeah, it's just going to happen. It's the process of, we don't have anything to do with that. God built it in the tree, in the word, in the seed to produce, and it will. All we got to do is focus on what we know, plant and water and a little fertilizer. So thank you, Jesus, for that and for revelation for God. For Jessica, God, I thank you that you're training her. She's learning. She's growing. God, and I thank you, Jesus, for the maturity level you brought her to. God, the things you brought her through and shutting the doors that the enemy has opened up, shutting doors. I'm always having to shut doors. There's some people in our life that are part of our life. Sometimes we can open up doors or they can open up doors, and we have to shut those doors and protect our family, protect our ministry, protect our life. You know, we have to watch the doors. We're doorkeepers. And to make sure those doors are shut at night and, you know, and locked where the enemy can't break in at night and steal and do that kind of thing. So teaching Jessica how to, we're doorkeepers and we're shepherds. We watch over the door of our personal house, over our family house, over our finances, over those things. So teach her how to be, teach the shepherd in her, God, how to shepherd, how to watch over and be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with all that stuff, but I'm going from one place to the other. So, Jessica, what is up? How can we pray for you tonight? Anything particular?
You pretty much reaffirmed everything that I've been marinating over the past few days. I've been, you know, literally last night, God told me, you know, it's finally time to, you know, let me handle it, pretty much is what he said. And so it was the process of me letting go and going, okay, I've done as much as I can do. I'm just going to focus on loving as much as I can the people that he's placed in my path, and that's all I can do. And then the door thing, as far as the enemy has been, you know, trying to come in, and I've been, okay, going over what doors did I open and how can I get them shut again, going through the process of making sure things are cleaned up and okay. And that's just too funny. You hit the nail on the head, so.
That is funny. Yeah, the Lord is so good, man, because most of that stuff, you know, when I start thinking about that, I'm going, yeah, you know, I remember when I'm still learning that stuff. I still don't have that down yet. You know, the planting and water and giving it to God, I think it's something we always have to keep our minds on, because it's so easy to, you know, to move into, you know, trying to bring the increase, you know, and it's just frustrating. And I used to wear myself out with it. Literally, I would. And then I'd mess it up, make it worse, you know. I'm going, what am I doing? What's wrong here? You know, and the Lord says, yeah, you plant water, let me give the increase. I'm going, like, what does that mean? He says, you know, you're trying to get the increase. I'm going, what? Yeah, just give it, do what I tell you to do, and then let me grow it, and I will. Instead, we're out there, you know, basically messing it up and hindering it, you know. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And I still learned that one for sure, but. Well, that's sweet Jesus for you, that's for sure. He's talking to his people tonight and shepherding us and telling us, confirming to us that he is truly teaching you. That's what I love about the prophetic, is that he's really confirmed to his sheep, to his people, that, you know, hey, I'm really teaching. You're really on track, you know. It's not that Randy's on track, you know, prophesying to people. That's true, too, that the Lord is through me, but he's showing you that you're on track. Just like I'm on track, so are you. Right? In other words, the Lord's, I'm on track, confirming that you're on track. So we're both on track. That's good.
Yeah. And that's a lot of good confirmation for me, because that's something I've been kind of out of whack with. I'm like, Lord, am I going the right way? Some stuff feels weird. I'm not paying attention to feelings right now, but I'm going to keep going. And so that's confirmation for me that I'm going the right way, and that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, isn't it? I know, me too. Well, we're all in the same boat. We're all growing, learning. We're all making mistakes. Can't be afraid to make mistakes. And God doesn't jump down our throat for making a mistake. You know, it's just amazing how that we think God does that. I don't know how we got that. I think it's just an image passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes it's the way our parents raised us. If our parents had, you know, I know my parents raised me a lot better than I raised my kids. I mean, they did a lot better job than I did, I think. So, you know, and I'm like, oh, golly. I can't seem to get this stuff right, you know, like, help me, Jesus. But, yeah, he's good, and he's teaching us. As long as we're teachable, I think that's the main thing, being teachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most definitely. That's something I've learned in my walk more than anything is I don't have it all figured out, and, I mean, his knowledge is way superior to mine, so I'm just going to shut up and listen.
Yeah. Listen and do. Obey,
yep.
Pray and obey, I think is what he said. Somebody, that wasn't me saying, yeah. Somebody really cool said that one, pray and obey. And, yeah, it's a lot simpler that way. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mandy.
You're so welcome.
Very, very edifying, and it has made my day, so I appreciate it.
Yes, excuse me, Red.
Yes, Doug.
I actually feel implored to ask you this. I know this is your show, but is there anything that you need prayed over?
Yeah, you know, we're just in the middle. I'm really got to have a lot going on right now. We are getting a new website. You know, I just got that a couple of days ago, and now we're trying to, you know, write up and, you know, fill it in with the information and make it all work. You can pray with us about that. You know, getting the things done right and with nice ease. And also we're adding to our board of directors. You know, we're trying to join the EFCA, which is a group that, you know, like when you're to make sure you're keeping your finances right for public, you know, for public proof, you know, to tell people, yeah, if you're part of an ECFA, that means that that you're doing your finances right. And we're working on that. I think that's important right now. And, and a couple of things, but that's mainly the main thing right now. But, yeah, I appreciate you praying about that.
Well, yeah,
I would appreciate it.
Definitely something that the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks. You know, it's a team effort that we try to build each other up. We can't just be one person helping everybody. We have to help each other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Psalms 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to, you know, dwell together in unity or work together in unity." You know, the same thing, dwelling together, working together, because we all need each other. It's like a special oil, it says, a special anointing, you know, that pours down. So when people are praying together, working together, and we all have a heart to obey God, we're helping each other out, doing, you know, everybody fulfilling their position. It's like a special oil. That's a special thing. So, yeah, that's what makes everything work together. So I appreciate that. All right, y'all. Thank you so much.
All right, Randy. Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right. Okay, thank you, Doug and Jessica. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go here to anybody else want to talk tonight? You want to share? You want to... It's only 12:15, so we still got a little bit more time. If you want to get on tonight and share something's going on, whatever, put your hand up there and let's pray for you. Okay, there's one, 251. All right, 251-342. This is Sarah.
No, this is Latrice Randy. How are you?
Well, hi, Latrice. How are you doing, girl? Woman of God, what's up?
It's good. Getting ready to go to class in about 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh, 4 hours. That's 4 o'clock in the morning. All right,
it's taking me about an hour to get there, an hour and a half.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you, and then we'll pray for you for a minute, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk for a minute. Thank you for Latrice, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you for giving her strength in her legs. I speak strength into her legs, into her walk, into her muscle area, to the things that give her, you know, your muscles have to be strengthened and functioning and healthy. Because that's where, you know, people say, oh, look how strong their legs are. But you can have strong muscles. You can have muscles in your legs. But if you don't have strength and blood flowing through them, then there's not inner energy to use the muscles to walk. So there's something about God energizing your muscles, your the power of your walk. And I thank you, Lord, for that and giving her strength, giving her, you know, when she needs to rest, so she'll be able to lay down and rest and sleep good, whether it's for an hour or 3 hours or whatever. And when she goes to do whatever she needs to do, the work of the Lord, doing what God's telling her to do, she's awake and sharp and able to learn and grow and do what she needs to do, Jesus. So taking her to the next level, God, of training, of bringing her forth and calling those things that are not as though they were, and teaching her how to do that, teaching her how to walk in that, calling those things, speaking those things that are not as though they were, the way the Holy Spirit wants to do it. And I thank you, Jesus, that she's doing that. And amen. Learning how to use her faith. And, opening up for that training, that teachable spirit, where when you let God teach you, then you can move forward. Without being teachable, you don't move forward. So we thank you, Lord, for that. All right, Latrice, what's going on tonight? How are you? So you get to go to school in about 4 hours, huh? When did you start going to school?
January of this year. Started back. So believe in God. I called in to get prayer regarding some tests I have tomorrow. And you hit it on the head about the legs. I went to clinicals this past Saturday. I was praying for some of the residents. And to get to clinical is like an hour and 45 minutes. So I drove up, drove back, got in. And my legs cramped. Up, I could not hardly move. I was like, Lord, I had to lay hands on myself and pray. And the devil was trying to make me believe not to pray for people because two of the last people I prayed for, one of them had cerebral palsy, and his legs were twisted. And a lady had a withered hand and leg, and I told her that God was going to heal her. And I prayed, and the week before we pried her hand open. This Saturday, she opened it up herself. And I tell you, but God is good all by himself. And it was pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah, I kept seeing your leg. Like I was looking at my leg. I got my shorts on. You know, I run around in my shorts during the day so I get some sun in my leg. And I was just looking at my leg and my leg, and that's why I started praying that. I said, "There's something." I didn't know what it was, spiritual or national, what it was, but I started seeing your legs and your muscles. Like there was something God wanted to do with that. So. That's really wild that you came home from praying for somebody's leg and that hitting you. It makes you think. I know what I do. I take trace minerals. I do things to make sure I don't get cramps and things in my leg. I don't know if it has something to do in the natural too, but drinking my water. And when I don't drink my water and when I don't have my trace minerals, which is trace minerals is kind of like natural minerals that you'd have for muscles and that kind of thing. But make sure you're getting those. That's what I do. I have to make sure I'm keeping those going on. But that's wild that you were praying for somebody's legs and then you came home and You know, part of that might have been spiritual too.
Yeah.
You know, feeling that and picking that up and, yeah, carrying that a little bit. Interceding over it, sounded like.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was. I'm like, oh, God. That was pretty
carrying
good.
It.
Yeah. Well, that's what the devil would have me believe, but I know the truth. Yep, and I'll continue to pray for him and as much as I can while I'm there.
Right, so that just happened to you, your leg thing happened to you just this weekend or the last few days? Or?
That was Saturday when I got back.
Okay, Saturday.
When I got back home.
So that was just recent. So you just hit that one. You just hit that one time, and then it kind of went away, or everything's good now, right?
Oh, it was probably over 20 minutes. I could not walk, and I was like, I thought, well, man, do I need to go to the emergency room? But I couldn't walk to get out there, and then I was like, I called an ambulance. I can't make it to the door to let them in, so I just kept praying and laying hands, and it subsided, and then it was back to normal.
That is wild. And here I am looking at my legs, and I look at my leg, and I'm going like, pray over her muscles on her leg. That's what I got. You know, I was like, what is that about? I never clue.
Yes.
So that's the Lord Jesus showing he loves you, and he's watching over you, and he knows about that, and he's with you in that. And helping you work through all that stuff. So that's amazing. The Lord is amazing, Latrice. You know, I just love Jesus.
Yes.
When he likes to talk to his people and let them know how he loves them and knows about them and cares about them. I love that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Going on with
all right.
me. Yeah.
All right. So are you fixing to go to bed, or are you up for a while? Or you stay awake at night?
Oh, no.
I'm
in bed and got up, and then I'm going back to sleep.
Okay, good. Bless your heart. I'll let you go then. Well, I'm glad we got the contact.
Right.
You. I haven't heard from you. And I'm glad the Lord.
Up.
I'm glad the Lord showed that about your legs. So that's cool that he lets you know that he knows about that. So that's cool.
Amen. And pray for my. I have two major tests tomorrow. Well, one tomorrow and one Thursday. So
right. What are you taking school in? What are you doing? What are you taking classes with in?
Nursing.
Okay, nursing. Okay. Yes. Amen and amen and amen. Okay, I will do that. Let's pray for you now. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then we'll pray for that, and then we'll look forward to talking to you later. We're going to pray for your test. Thank you, Jesus, for Latrice. Lord, thank you for the wisdom you give her. Thank you for showing her how to relax her brain, how to rest her brain and let her brain do the thinking. Let her brain has been made to think. Her brain has been made by God to you put information in, and we need the information that comes out. How to relax that, how to activate it at the same time without overreactivating it, and how to just let the information float up, let it flow up. It's like a river, it flows. And Jesus, we thank you the information goes in, and if that information is in you, it can come out of you or come through you or so we thank you, Jesus, for those tests and that information realm, God, begin to flow through her brain, through her mind, by the Holy Spirit, help activate and rest and cause it to just come to the surface when she needs it, God, all that information she needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless your servant, God, as she takes these nursing school classes. In Jesus' name, and just bless her socks off, God. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, Latrice. We love you. Nice talk to you. All right, y'all. It's 12:25 or so, something like that. If nobody else raised their hand, I'm going to call it a night tonight. I got a couple of people left there, but not much going on there. So I guess we'll just call it a night tonight. If you don't raise your hand, we're going to do that. So, all right, today is actually Wednesday now. It was Tuesday. Still Tuesday show, but it's actually Wednesday.
So, all right, everybody, thank you so much. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for contacting us, letting us know. We're here to minister to you. We don't care who you are, what you're doing, what you have or haven't done. We don't really care. We're just here to help you make it through to the other side, literally, literally. So that's what we're here for. That's what the prophetic is here for, to encourage, build up, lift up, that know that Jesus just wants somebody that he can talk to talk to his people, and that's us. That's what we do, and that's what he wants you to do. So let him do it. All right? Okay, so we're going to call it a night. Nobody else lifting their hand up there, so we're going to go bye-bye. All right, get everybody. See you tomorrow. Thank you so much.